are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, how Skittles are like mushrooms. Also, yet another shooting of an alleged unarmed black man. Riots followed in North Carolina. Meanwhile, the Massachusetts Supreme Court says black men have a legitimate reason to run from the police that has nothing to do with their own guilt. Texas caught lying about voter IDs. It's the closest thing that we have to pre-clearance now, ordered by a circuit court judge in terms of their voting laws. Wells Fargo CEO grilled in the Senate. He's still okay, though. Still not in prison, at least for the moment. Speaking of not in prison, Donald Trump used his charity to pay his personal legal bills.
I mean, yeah.
That is illegal.
Charitable.
In any other kind.
To myself.
Charity starts at home.
Charity begins. I mean, if you can't be charitable to yourself, you can't be charitable for anyone else.
Gotta love yourself. Meanwhile,
like the Dalai Lama says,
the Securities Exchange Commission investigating Exxon for cheating its investors by not calculating the cost that they are aware of climate change to their own business. And 3% of America owns 50% of America's guns. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. All that and more on today's program. Yesterday, during the fun half of the program, people were IMing me and telling me, you got to listen. I mean, to the show on TYT, which is going to drive you crazy. I guess that's why people wanted me to see it, because they wanted to see me go crazy over it. And it's a show that's hosted by Jimmy Dore.
Who I love.
And I love, too. He's very nice. Steve-O, who's been a long time. He was like an executive at TYT in some respects. May still be, but also hosting the show. Also, very good guy. Known him for years. And you'll recall that Jimmy was on this program. We had a Bernie or Buster's debate some time back. And so I'm going to be going over that video in a moment. But I want to start because, there's a lot of reasons why I'm doing it. Both to continue to make the case of what I think makes the most sense for progressives in terms of the way that they vote in this election. And probably, broadly speaking, vote in any election. At least in terms of a national election. And that election is coming up, and people are freaking out about the potential of Donald Trump winning. I still don't think he's going to win this election, but like I've been saying for an extended period of time, if there's greater than a 0% chance of him becoming the next president, I don't know if panic is in order, but extreme concern is. urgent concern. But, you know, I would say this, frankly, with any Republican who could have possibly ever been nominated. I suppose there exists somewhere in another universe a Republican who I would say, well, it's not the most urgent situation. But because of the nature of our politics in this country, how polarized we are, it becomes rather urgent because it's really less about the individual. As extreme and fascistic as Donald Trump is, it's even less about the individual than it is about the people who support him and who the Republican Party is. They're not going to go away. You know, Donald Trump could get hit by a bus and have like a Regarding Henry moment where he comes out and he's like, oh, my God, I've spent my whole world life doing something very different. And that's a movie I'd see. I didn't see Regarding Henry. I'm just assuming what happened based upon the ad.
So mean to everyone. What are your feelings, Ivanka? What do you care about? Who are you?
But Melania, the bottom line is,
I didn't let you leave the bedroom. I've never seen you without 10 layers of makeup on. What kind of monster am I? I need to go volunteer at a homeless shelter. Is Mother Teresa still alive? Can I do hospice work with her in India?
The problem with that scenario is that movie, Regarding Donald, would still be that all the people who voted for him are still the people who voted for him.
Top priority of the president is to solve poverty, right, guys? Oh, my God. This agenda is horrible. You want to give rich people more money and not let poor people vote and destroy the planet. So wrong.
It's a hoax? What are you talking about? It's real.
Just overwhelming scientific evidence that climate change is an urgent security and public health threat. That's why I'm going to cut down on my use of the private jet. As Gandhi said, we must be the change we seek in the world.
Oh, my God. But so I'll get to that video. And people sent me this email. We're talking about the video without telling me that he had referenced me in it. And he'd only referenced, it wasn't a mean reference. It was just a reference about an argument I made to him when he came on the program. And but I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I first want to talk about Ross Douthat. Douthat. Who has found the problem that Democrats have, ladies and gentlemen, and who have found the problem really that liberals have, broadly speaking, and also has stumbled across how they're responsible for Donald Trump.
Looking forward to this.
When the histories of the Trump era are written from exile in Justin Trudeau's Canada. Honestly, yes, F him. Wasn't he the one whining about Donald Trump just a couple of months ago? He's probably already got his place in Montreal.
Oh, or he's working to get back in the good graces.
Right.
As it appears that maybe there's less of an infinitesimal chance that Trump will win this thing.
They will record that it was none other than Jimmy Fallon who brought down the Republic. Or so you might have thought, listening to the furious liberal reaction to Fallon's willingness to treat Trump like any other late-night guest last week. I think people know what he's talking about. I was one of those people who found it craven.
It was.
Look, my issue isn't that he treated him like any late night guest. My issue is that he invited him on. It's not his responsibility to take down a horrible figure like Donald Trump on national television. But it's also not his responsibility to have him on as a guest. He could get away with it. The head of NBC has already said that Trump is despicable. It's not like someone would say, like, Jimmy. Nevertheless, I'll continue with Ross Douthat. But the Democratic Party's problem in the age of Trump isn't really Jimmy Fallon. Its problem is Samantha Bee. No, no, let me explain. And he didn't write that. I did. Not be alone, of course, but the entire phenomena she embodies. The rapid colonization of new cultural territory by an ascendant social liberalism. Now, there's so many things that are wrong about that sentence and incorrect. He's already created a straw man that, hey, the culture was not already liberal. The culture's been liberal for 40, 50 years. The culture industry has always tilted leftward. Oh, okay. But the swing towards social liberalism among younger Americans and the simultaneous surge of activist energy on the left have created a new dynamic. This is a completely new dynamic, incidentally, folks. None of this happened in the 60s, right? In which areas once considered relatively apolitical now have, or are being pushed to have, an overtly left-wing party line. Well, there is no left-wing party. That party doesn't exist. There's a Democratic Party. There's a Republican Party. There's a Libertarian Party. There's no left-wing party. But he needs to create one, as if there's a left-wing party line. These areas were once considered relatively apolitical, like that institution of late-night TV. Well, you know, Ross Dachau is not an entertainment reporter, so he may not be aware of the fact that in the era that he was talking about, when this was apolitical, there was one late-night comedy show. There are now 8, 10, 12... I'm just talking about it that 1 hour, that time period. On late night television, it was understood that David Letterman was beloved by coastal liberals and Jay Leno, more of a middle American taste. But neither man was prone to delivering hectoring monologues in the style of the Daily Show alums who now dominate late night. Well, first off, they're using David Letterman's skewering of Trump before he was even a candidate in an ad now. David Letterman was quite articulate about George W. Bush. Did he have monologues? Well, no. But no one in that time slot does now either. There are once-a-week shows on HBO and shows that are different. Like, almost like, Bill Maher's show, which has been on for 20 years. Or Politically Incorrect, which, of course, was a daily show at that time. I mean, all of this is such crap. But, I mean, it's such misinformed crap that it's hard to believe. Does he not have an editor? Fallon's apolitical shtick increasingly makes him an outlier among his peers, many of whom are less comics than propagandists. So they dominate late night comedy, but they're not even funny. They're just propagandists. And of course, all of those television executives are so political that they would never put on something that wasn't getting ratings that dominates. It both dominates, but it's not funny. It isn't just late-night TV. Well, it isn't even late-night TV, I would suggest. Cultural arenas and institutions that were always liberal are being prodded or dragged further to the left. In other words, our society is moving more towards the left, and Ross Dachau doesn't like it. Award shows are being pushed to shed their genteel limousine liberalism and embrace the race, gender, sexuality agenda in full. Now, Ross Dachau, I don't know how old he is, but I don't know if he remembers when Marlon Brando got up and brought a Native American activist on stage with him. He doesn't. But that would involve this guy who has a column in the New York Times to do some research. And they don't have anybody around there. with the internet. Colleges and universities are increasingly acting as indoctrinators for that same agenda, shifting their already lefty consensus under activist pressure. The tabloid industry gave us the apotheosis of Caitlyn Jenner, and ESPN gave her its Arthur Ashe Award. The NBA, the NCAA, and the ACC, nobody's idea of progressive forces usually, are acting as enforcers on behalf of gay and transgender rights. You see what's happening to Ross Douthat.
Less market opportunity for an anti-masturbation, anti-gay rights pundit.
He doesn't like the fact that gay people are not considered abnormal or marginal anymore. And it's making him feel awkward and unloved, even by those sports organizations that he does or does not watch or care about. For the left, these are clear signs of cultural gains, cultural victory. But the scale and swiftness of these victories have created two distinctive political problems for the Democratic Party. But of course, no problem for Ross Douthat. He's just watching the problem that this is causing for the Democratic Party. Not that he's feeling really, really uncomfortable. First, within the liberal tent, they have dramatically raised expectations for just how far left our politics can move, while insulating many liberals from the harsh realities of political disagreement in a sprawling 300-plus million-person republic. That's an interesting theory. Let's see if he can bear that out. Among millennials especially, there's a growing constituency for whom right-wing ideas are so alien or triggering. It's funny he's saying triggering here, because this is basically a three-page plea for a safe space for Ross Douthat's awkwardness around the idea that people could be gay or transgender. Left-wing orthodoxy so pervasive and unquestioned that supporting a candidate like Hillary Clinton looks like a needless form of compromise. Well, the reality is in fact, to the extent that people are not supporting Hillary Clinton, whether they're millennials or baby boomers, it has virtually nothing to do with the issues that he's talked about so far.
I thought that it's indexed as Samantha B.
Well, but the point is this, is that
no, I'm kidding.
The issues that Hillary Clinton, that people take issue with, have nothing to do with transgender rights. I mean, broadly speaking, I'm sure there are some people do. Transgender rights, marriage equality, these are all ships that have sailed.
No, it's
the issues
because of
are
smug,
foreign policy. They're on economics. They're on maybe some sense that she's personally corrupt. Nothing of what he's talking about. Nothing. Zero. Zero. So that's a complete straw man. Thus, Clinton's peculiar predicament. She's moved further left than any modern Democratic nominee and absorbed the newer left's Manichaean view of the culture war sufficiently that she finds herself dismissing almost a quarter of the electorate as irredeemable before her donors. Well, frankly, they are. You're one of them. As much as you like to pretend you're not. Yet she still finds herself battling an insurgency on her left flank, which again, your premise is completely wrong. That's not what she's fighting them on. At the same time, outside the liberal tent, the feeling of being suffocated by the left's cultural dominance is turning voting Republican into an act of cultural rebellion. Wait a second. I feel like he's auditioning for one of those late night spots, because that's fucking hilarious. Which may be one reason the Obama years, so good for liberalism in the culture, have seen sharp GOP gains at every level of the country's government. You know, I got another reason. What is it about Obama that just projects something?
It has something to do with smug late night monologues.
Bingo. The spirit of political cultural rebellion is obviously crucial to Trump's act. In other words, anti-PC. In other words, we want to be able to say that gay people are bad, that transgender people are bad, that black people are too uppity, that Muslims should be all rounded up. Pathetic. Pathetic attempt by Ross Douthat. Now,
I feel like he used to be a little more sneaky.
Yeah.
He used to have a little bit of sort of better ability to do that sort of thing.
So Ross Douthat has a huge platform in which but fortunately, I don't think a lot of people listen to him on this platform anymore. Honestly, I just think that, like, he gets more attention probably at this point, thoughtful attention from people like me who are just making sure that nobody misreads this. Because I, you know.
Also from that Twitter account that I just DM'd you.
But I want to turn to someone who's getting more attention, to people who are relevant in my mind. Okay. We had Jimmy on this program some time ago, and, you know, I like Jimmy. I'm not hugely familiar with his work. I don't know if he's been saying stuff like this all along. But my feeling is, and the reason why this got under my skin so much, is that if you have a platform that allows you to reach 10, 20, 30, 50,000 people, 100,000 people, and particularly on the left, I hold you to a higher standard than I would if you were Ross Douthat. Even though you reach more. Because I just think Ross Douthat is a schmuck. And he's not even talking to people that I think are, frankly, redeemable. I think Ross Douthat is speaking to people who are just not part of any equation that I can come up with for the kind of change in this country that I want to see. So Jimmy has this show with Steve-O. We had Jimmy on this show, and we debated a lot of the questions that come up here. In fact, he references that debate. And during that debate, when there were a couple of moments where Jimmy said some stuff that were just blatantly inaccurate about the structure of our government, even. And Jimmy said, well, look, I'm a comedian. And he is. He's very funny. But if you're going to go and opine about these things, then in my mind, you have a responsibility to dig into this stuff. And if you're going to be that passionate about it, you should do it. You should do the work. So I want to go through some of this stuff. You know, look, we had someone on this program yesterday who, Lester Spence, who lives in Maryland, said he's probably going to vote for Jill Stein. But he said the idea that there's no difference between, and he said he felt relatively comfortable doing so because he thinks that state is going to go for Clinton. And even by the end, he was like, meh, but I'm not even sure about it. But he said the idea that Hillary Clinton equals Donald Trump is, to hold that idea, I think he said, I'm paraphrasing, but I think it's fairly accurate, is disqualifying for your ability to even talk about politics. Now, I happen to think that anybody should be, obviously, to be allowed to talk about politics. I imagine he does, too. But I think, you know, if you're going to espouse this type of stuff, and one of the videos at least has 30,000 views, which is far more views than we get on any of our videos. And I don't know if they have an audio podcast, too. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is his platform is larger than this one. Probably. I don't know. I don't know. But nevertheless. So let's take this clip number one. This is from the free part of the show. Somebody sent me another clip from the, I guess, the behind the paywall. This is Jimmy Dore with Steve-O. Steve-O, I think, starts off here by saying, look, there's disagreements as to whether or not you should vote for Hillary Clinton. And in these guys' minds, particularly Jimmy's, there's basically, it is completely polarized. You're either in Hillary Clinton's camp or in, I don't know, I guess, the other camp, which seems to be Donald Trump is going to be a better solution for this country than Hillary Clinton. And, you know, feel free to tell me that I'm assessing this incorrectly. But that seems to be the argument that Jimmy's making explicitly. Not just I'm in California, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein. Not Jill Stein is better than Hillary Clinton. Not Bernie Sanders was better than Hillary Clinton. But Jimmy ultimately comes to a formula that he thinks he's worked out as to why Trump is going to be better for the country than Hillary Clinton. And the things that they dismiss along the way are show an incredible amount of ignorance about our political system. And on topics that I've spent just personally a long time trying to educate people about. And to hear someone on the left totally miseducate other people on the left about this is obviously has stuck in my craw a little bit. Play this.
No matter who wins this election, if it is
wait,
Hillary
pull
Clinton
it back. We're
going to
go back. This clip number one.
This is clip number one. Yep.
Okay, you got to go back just a little bit. Can you? You can't. Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
No matter who wins this election, if it is Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, progressives are going to have to fight the Democrats and the Republicans. We're going to have to fight the Democrats to get $15 minimum wage. We're going to have to fight the Democrats if we want less war. We're going to have to fight the Democrats if we want to regulate Wall Street. We're going to have to fight the Democrats if we want to get rid of fracking. We're going to have to fight the Democrats tooth and nail if we want single-payer health care. We're going to have to fight
the Democrats.
Okay,
pause it for a second. Now, I wouldn't necessarily characterize as fight the Democrats to do those things. We're going to have to push the Democrats. Now, maybe Jimmy doesn't know that 37 senators, Democratic senators, have signed on to a resolution they're introducing this week, and they're going to try and raise a bill to provide Medicare buy-in for all. Maybe he doesn't know the vast majority of Democrats support a $15 minimum wage. Hillary Clinton, only 12, doors open to 15. On all those issues, the Democrats are demonstrably better than the Republicans. The nature of the fight to get Democrats to do it versus getting Republicans to do it is also dramatically different. Nobody who is a Republican gives a crap about what anybody on TYT says. They don't. Their constituency is in a completely different geographic and psychographic arena. But largely speaking, yes, activism doesn't end the day after the election.
At every turn. So this idea that voting for Hillary Clinton will somehow make things better is crazy.
But
we're going to have to fight
Supreme
her.
Court. Supreme Court.
Right now, we have a Democratic president right now who is pushing as hard as he can for the TPP. So we're going to have to fight the Democrats on the TPP. Right now, he nominated a corporatist judge.
All right, pause it for 1 second. The vast majority of House members, Democratic House members, voted against the TPA. There were about, I think, 28 out of the 190 Democratic congresspeople, who voted in favor of the fast track authority. The majority of Democrats in the Senate also against the TPP. There's every reason to believe right now that that vote won't come up. But nevertheless, yes, still have to fight against the TPP. Go back just a minute, because now he's going to address Merrick Garland.
We're going to have to fight the Democrats on the TPP right now. He nominated a corporatist judge, Merrick Garland, right now. And he didn't have to do that. He did it anyway. So no matter who gets elected, progressives are going to have to fight the power. Because Hillary Clinton's pro-TPP, you know it. I know it. She's not out there in North Dakota right now fighting against those pipelines. She's not giving. She's for them because her donors are for them. So no matter who, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, we got to fight both of them. And if and let's go to the videotape. Let's go to the videotape, because I've been saying this for months, and now they're starting to say it on MS frickin' NBC. If Donald Trump becomes president, I've said it, people have passed this video around on Twitter, crazy, telling people that I'm telling people to vote for Trump, which I'm not. But this is my theory. You vote for Trump. I mean, if Trump becomes president, he can't get anything done. If you watch those Loser Donald segments, he guy's an incompetent, a moron. He can't get anything done. Plus, he fractures the Republican Party, right? All the opposition coalesces against Donald Trump. All the Democrats, all the independents, and all the purple state Republicans. If Hillary Clinton wins...
Hold on for a second. I want to try and parse what he just said there. So here's what happens. Donald Trump wins the election. And then all of the Republicans who then control the House and the Senate, because there is absolutely no scenario where the House or the Senate goes Democrat and Donald Trump becomes president. All of those people, they're going to just fight Donald Trump. And they're going to fight Donald Trump in what way? They're going to pass legislation. And then Donald Trump is what? He's going to veto it because Mike Pence, who's really in charge of all the domestic and foreign policy, is going to say, we should veto this just because, why? The Republican Party is going to find it in their interests. Even now, when Paul Ryan can't come out and condemn the guy after he said things that Paul Ryan says are racist, they're going to decide to sink their own president. Or is it Donald Trump is going to get, I don't feel comfortable with this right-wing agenda now that I'm president. I don't feel comfortable with cutting the estate tax, eliminating it, or cutting capital gains taxes. I don't feel comfortable with this notion of the FDA, getting rid of the FDA, even though it was his policy before he scrubbed his website 2 days ago. Saying he wants to get all the busybodies out of the food processing program. Or Donald Trump's going to say, like, you know what? I don't like this idea of allowing for... defanging the EPA's ability to make regulations. You know what? I've come around. I used to think climate change was a hoax, but now that I have two houses, the two legislative bodies are passing things that make it impossible to do anything about climate change. Now I've come around to the other position, and I'm not going to go along with it. I mean, what is this insanity that Jimmy's talking about? Go back and make people listen to this again. Because this idea that Donald Trump, yeah, he may be incompetent. He doesn't have to be competent. He just has to either pick up his pen and sign a bill or not sign a bill. And there is no incentive for him to veto anything. Anything that these Republicans pass. TPP? As soon as it's not Obama trade or Hillary trade, the idea that the Republican Party wouldn't pass the same type of deal they've always been passing is ludicrous. I just negotiated a better deal. Yeah, now China has to actually pay my own legal bills. And they've donated to my charity. All right, play it again.
anything done. If you watch those Loser Donald segments, he guy's an incompetent, a moron. He can't get anything done. Plus, he fractures the Republican Party, right? All the opposition coalesces against Donald Trump. All the Democrats, all the independents, and all the purple state Republicans. If Hillary Clinton wins...
Okay, stop everything. And then what happens? We coalesce and we pass real good legislation to raise the minimum wage, to provide family leave. We coalesce with the Republicans and the independents to do what? To do what?
If Hillary Clinton wins, the Republican Party... She splits the Democrats. She splits the opposition to TPP. She split, just like Barack's doing now. She splits the opposition to war. She splits the opposition against fracking. She splits the opposition on everything.
How does she? I've never seen the left more skeptical of, or the Democrats more skeptical of their nominee in our history. The problem with that we had under Barack Obama was that it took 3 or 4 years for people to realize, like, there's some disagreements here. What's going to happen on day minus 40 with Hillary Clinton? The day after she's elected, the left is going to be mobilizing to pushing her to the left. And so far, it's been working. The policies she's adopted have been our... clearly to the left of where she started. Whether it's free college, a college public option under the $125,000 a year, whether it's her restating Medicare after the age of 55, whether it's her statement in favor of a public option, whether it's her statement in expansion of Social Security, whether it's her writing a letter, making sure that she promises to protect the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. These are things that you can actually do regardless that you do as the executive. Never mind comprehensive immigration reform, or at the very least, she's supportive of that, but at the very least, pushing DACA. And then the one thing that we know a president who has even a Republican Senate and House can do is appoint judges. Now, let's play this clip. This is when things get really even more off the rails, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and one last point. I keep yelling Supreme Court as a mockery.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that the left will say right now, Hillary supporters.
And what do you say?
My response is, yeah, so what?
Okay, period. Stop. I'm going to let him explain why. But this is what really gets my goat. The idea that people would go on with this kind of platform and tell people on the left that the Supreme Court is meaningless is just beyond the pale. They're not doing their homework. They're not doing any homework whatsoever. Just roll it back and continue.
Yeah, and one last point. I keep yelling Supreme Court as a mockery.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that the left will say right now, Hillary supporters.
And what do you say?
My response is, yeah, so what? And here's why. So there's talk today about Peter Thiel being a nominee, right? All right, so Peter Thiel isn't the ideal candidate for the Supreme Court, in my opinion. But how is he any worse than Clarence Thomas? How is he any worse than Antonin Scalia or Samuel Alito? So we can weather the storm.
Okay, pause it right here. Let's assume that Peter Thiel is not any worse than the most conservative justices we have had.
I don't know about that.
Wait, let's just assume this. I mean, this is so outrageous. It's unbelievable. People who listen to this program on a regular basis know that probably once a week, I find a reason to celebrate the death of Antonin Scalia. Celebrate is an exaggeration. But it's warranted. Just the cases that we have seen since his death in February that by virtue of the fact that it's 4-4 have made the difference of the existence of public sector unions, or at least their funding, has meant the enfranchisement of hundreds of thousands of African-American voters in multiple states across the country. It has meant a huge difference in terms of abortion rights. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. And I'm not even thinking about this right now. I mean, that's just in, 3 months? Just the absence of that fifth vote has caused this. Just the absence. Never mind everything that would happen if there was a 5-4 majority, liberal to conservative. And the idea of taking a conservative justice and moving them even marginally to the left, even marginally, would be the first time that's happened in 40 years. Where a justice has been replaced by someone to the left of them. But let's continue.
So we can weather the storm. We can weather the storm. And
but why do you think that he'll be confirmed? See, that's the thing. See?
Exactly. Right. And that was the other thing, too. I said, we came and confirmed Merrick Garland.
Right now.
Right now.
A corporatist.
Right now. Yeah. So why would we have to confirm Peter Thiel? And is he even any worse than Merrick Garland? I don't know that he is. What is so dangerous about Peter Thiel? He's libertarian, and he has some conservative ideologies, but he's not a crazy person, right?
All right, pause it. Pause it. All right, first off, Peter Thiel has taken himself out of the race. I think he happens to be a crazy person, but that's besides the point. I'm more interested in his politics. Donald Trump has provided a list of 12 people that he's going to appoint to the Supreme Court. They're all delivered by the Heritage Foundation. Let's say Peter Thiel is added to that. It's number 12 or 13. This idea that Merrick Garland is a corporatist, okay? Merrick Garland is more conservative than I would like on issues of criminal law. He is more conservative than I would like on issues of national security. But the idea that he's a corporatist, frankly, I don't know where this has come from, all right? Now, I'm not saying that this guy is to the left of anybody else on the Supreme Court in that on that liberal block. But let me read a little bit about Merrick Garland's decisions. Now, Merrick Garland has been on the appellate court, the D.C. Circuit appellate court. That is the one that deals with the relationship, that deals with all the agencies and their power. Now, I can tell you this. Peter Thiel does not believe that the government should have the ability to do 80% of what the government does right now. And
well, maybe some stuff involving black people, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. I'm going to read from Tom Goldstein. He was a former professor of litigation at Harvard University, Supreme Court litigation. Judge Garland has tended to take a broader view of First Amendment rights. Just select quotes here from this. Doing things like upholding, and it's very difficult to parse when someone's on the circuit court exactly where they are because they have to follow the precedent of the Supreme Court. But you get broad contours. Upholding lobbying disclosure statute against First Amendment challenge. In other words, it's our right to withhold as a lobbyist. You can't inhibit our business. Well, no. Civil rights. When Judge Garland participated in a divided ruling, it was generally in favor of the plaintiff. In other words, he favored plaintiffs in civil rights cases. Scalia, Alito, Roberts, Thomas, and I would imagine Peter Thiel would not do the same, have not done the same. Agency deference. Judge Garland has strong views favoring deference to agency decision makers. In other words, does the EPA have the right to pass this law, this environmental law? Does the FCC have the right to regulate telecommunications carriers? Does the FDA have the right to check food processing plants? Does the SEC have the right to impose financial guidelines. I mean, this is where it all happens in our government. Judge Garland has strong views favoring deference to agency decision makers. In a dozen close cases in which the court divided, he sided with the agency every time. To say that Peter Thiel, the libertarian, would side with agency decision makers every time, most of the time, even any of the time, is fundamentally not knowing a single thing you're talking about. If you use the words Peter Thiel, Supreme Court, Merrick Garland comparison, it means that you don't know one little thing about what you're talking about as you speak to tens of thousands of people. Coal-fired power plants. The ability to regulate lead. Secretary of Labor versus XL Mining. Labor laws. The ability of the National Labor Relations Board to say that McDonald's, the corporation of McDonald's, is responsible for the way that its employees are treated at franchises. Employer unlawfully admonished employee for engaging in union solicitation is another case, Ross v. Storrs, NLRB. I'm just picking these out of here. Upholding the Secretary of Agriculture's implementation of a subsidy program. On environmental law, Judge Garland has in a number of cases favored contested EPA regulations and actions when challenged by industry, corporate industry. This is, in fact, the area which Judge Garland has been most willing to disagree with agency actions. Yeah, is he calling?
Yeah, he tweeted it out.
Is he on,
I gotta text him. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm just seeing it as a tweet.
Standing is an important doctrine in litigation. This is something that I talk about on Ring of Fire quite a bit. Because we have seen the court under the five conservative justices make it harder and harder for people to bring cases against corporations, which, when you see the assault on our regulatory system, is the only way to hold companies accountable. If AT&T now overcharges you on your bills because of your arbitration clause in AT&T versus Concepcion, they charge hundreds of thousands of customers, millions of customers, $3 extra on each bill, you no longer have the ability to do a class action suit. You got to sue them yourself. Good luck getting a lawyer who's going to take 33% of the $36 for the past year that you've been charged that. And that's an agenda item of the right. Keep citizens out of courts so they can't hold corporations accountable. Judge Garland's ruling reflects a preference for open government, upholding FOIA laws. Is Judge Garland the guy I would pick? No. But let's continue. Is he on the phone now? Okay.
So that's when someone.
Oh, hold on. Pause it. We got Jimmy on the line. I want to bring him on. Jimmy, you there?
Yes, I am here.
Were your ears burning?
Yes, they were.
All right. Well, to be fair, I gave you a heads up that we were going to do this.
Now, Sam, if you're going to do this kind of blindsiding with me without any warning whatsoever or heads up or even give me a chance to rebut you, that is so dishonest.
Well, Jimmy's funny. I did send him an email and tell him to do this, but it was, to be fair, it was also last night that I did that, so.
Maybe send me an email, maybe, the night before to let me know you're going to do this.
Well, I appreciate your taking, having a sense of humor about it. But, I mean, talk to me about it, because I still have more of your tape, and we can go over
that
tape.
Sam, I like you. I like your show. I would come on your show whenever you want me to come on. So all you do is a little email or a text or something. Let me know you're going to be ripping me a new asshole, and I'll show up.
Well, I'm trying to overlay it on your existing one, if it makes you feel better.
Hey, you know what? Actually, I'm getting a little bit of the delay or something. It's coming back in my ear feed.
It's the libertarian thing. I think it's Peter Thiel.
Can I try? It's a little distracting, so can I call back in?
Let me call you back on a different line. I'll call you right back.
Call me, okay? All right, thank you.
All right. Well, we'll call Jimmy back. I did, in fact, I should say, before people start freaking out, I did invite Jimmy on last night, and he said he couldn't make it. Apparently, he can. He was just driving around. That's all he was doing.
Hello, Jimmy Dore, irresponsible journalist. How are you?
Are you on the 405 right now?
I'm on the 10. I'm texting and I'm watching a TV show at the same time while I'm driving. That's how reckless I am.
I was going to say, irresponsible driver as well. All right, Jimmy. So.
Yes.
I mean, what's your response? I haven't gotten to the other parts yet, but...
I think, first of all, Sam, just because you've been right up to this point doesn't mean I'm still not pissed off at you.
Well, I mean, but we had this debate, and to watch this, I mean, it really is upsetting to me, because...
Now, let me just say, your point about the Supreme Court... My position on the Supreme Court is that right now you said he's not your first choice. I'm with you on that. I'll just say this right now. The Republicans aren't even giving a guy who they called a perfect choice. Right. They loved him. Right. Orrin Hatch said he'd be the best choice. And then they won't even give him a hearing or a meeting without batting an eye for a year. This is the argument we had before. So why wouldn't the Democrats, let's say if Donald Trump nominates a maniac, why wouldn't they say, no, why don't you nominate Merrick Garland?
Well, Jimmy, this was the next thing I was going to get to. I understand. You're saying, why can't the Democrats do this?
Right.
You said on the tape here that the Republicans are filibustering. They're not filibustering.
No, they're not filibustering.
There is no one who has ever even speculated that it's possible for Donald Trump to win the presidency and for the Democrats to take back the Senate. Those two things cannot happen. And so the Democrats don't have the ability to not provide a hearing for Donald Trump's nominee. There's no way the Republicans are going to go 4 years without a hearing. They can maybe get away with this with Obama, and they can play out the clock for 6 or 7 months because there's a huge presidential election going on, so the media has been distracted somewhat. But I can tell you that in January, there's only going to be one story. Maybe there'll be two. One will be how if Hillary Clinton's the president. One will be how the Republicans are threatening to shut down the government again. And the other one will be they're refusing to hold hearings for her nominee. And that will just go on and on because there's not going to be anything else that's going on. It's going to be a fundamentally different media era. So I don't think they're going to be able to hold out for 4 years. And Democrats certainly wouldn't be able to hold out for 4 years because they don't believe in the destruction of the Senate as an institution in the way that Republicans do. And frankly, so I'm glad about that.
Okay. Here's my theory. I'll just give you my theory is that if the Republicans can do this to a guy like Merrick Garland that they've already said is a great justice for a whole year without batting an eye and paying no political price for it, I say the Democrats will be able to filibuster someone that Donald Trump nominated. And then in 2 years, the Senate, in my opinion, it would flip to Republican just because of I agree with Chris Hayes. When he says that if Donald Trump becomes president, it's the destruction of the Republican Party, and Paul Ryan is not going to usher any of his crazy policies through the Congress. So they fracture, and the Senate flips to Democrat, They were saying it was almost going to happen this year. But,
yeah, but do you know the difference between, I mean, Jimmy, surely you know the difference between how many Senate Republicans are running for re-election this year versus 2 years from now, right? You know the difference, right? We have 2/3 of the race is our Senate's, our Republicans up for a race. And in 2 years, we have 2 times the number of Democrats who are up for re-election. So the idea of the Democrats taking back the Senate in 2018 is an extreme long shot. The idea that Paul Ryan may not pursue any of Donald Trump's crazy legislation, but he will pursue Paul Ryan's crazy legislation, and Donald Trump will surely sign it. Why wouldn't he?
Okay, so...
So you're going to let Paul Ryan, would you want Paul Ryan to be president? This guy wants to privatize Medicare. He wants to privatize Social Security. He wants to cut any type of social safety net. He wants to get rid of the estate taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, why is his agenda any better than Donald Trump's? Even if you believe Donald Trump is not even going to do anything except for sign legislation, that's bad enough.
Yeah, I, Sam, we're on the same side most things.
No, wait a second. No, we're not. Because
what
politically...
except for Hillary Clinton and the Supreme Court, we disagree 100% on that. And I think that if Donald Trump is president, it's way worse for the Republicans. And if Hillary Clinton is... I agree with Chris Hayes when he says Hillary Clinton is good for the Republican Party and Donald Trump is bad for it. I agree with him.
I agree with that, too. But in the meantime... we have a Supreme Court that is going to be moved to the right for generations. In the meantime,
I disagree with you on that. I mean, you haven't given me an argument that rebuts what I said, that the Democrats could easily filibuster any bad appointee, and they could say, hey, until you give us someone as good as Merrick Garland, we're going to keep filibustering this. And all we have to do is do it for 2 years. And my proof that they could do it is that the Republicans are doing it to a guy like Merrick Garland, who they already said they like, without batting an eye for a year. So I just disagree with you on this, Sam, on the Supreme Court. I just disagree.
And what about when Justice Breyer or Justice Ginsburg pass away or retire?
Yeah, I mean,
so they're going to filibuster. They're going to prevent 2 vacancies from being filled, and then you think based on that in the context of American society as you know it, without a presidential election going on, that the Democrats are going to retake the Senate, even though they have twice as many people up for re-election.
I mean, Sam, did you think that Hillary Clinton was a stronger candidate than Bernie Sanders against the Republicans?
No.
You didn't? You always thought Bernie Sanders was a stronger candidate than Hillary Clinton against the Republicans?
Yeah. I mean, particularly against Donald Trump.
Oh, I thought I had you on that one. God damn it. So I was trying to impugn your forecasting ability. Hmm. I'm saying I don't agree with that forecast. You know, you're saying, what if there's 2 justices? What if there's 3 justices? I'm saying as it stands right now, the Republicans aren't even giving a hearing to a guy they say is great for a year. Why can't the Democrats do the same thing, Sam?
But,
why can't they filibuster a bad justice? Why can't they filibuster a bad justice?
I don't know. Why can't I fly? Because I don't have wings. I mean, the fact is, Jimmy, that you are taking... I mean, the what you're talking about, there's no... You're just positing things to happen that is like, you know, it's like dropping a marble down a pachinko ladder and just saying like, well, if it hits here and it hits there and it hits there, it's going to land here. But the fact is, none of those things can logically follow each other.
I 100% disagree with you.
Well, I know.
What do you say about the point that Chris Hayes made and Ben Howe made from Red State? They're both in agreement that they're telling... Ben Howe is telling people, his conservative friends, to vote for Hillary if they care about the safety or the life of the Republican Party and the conservative movement. Because if Donald Trump is president, it wrecks it. And they won't be able to get a governing majority, he said, for maybe decades. So you can vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm going to vote for the destruction of the Republican Party, as according to Chris Hayes and Ben Howe.
Well, I think Chris Hayes would tell you to vote for Hillary Clinton. And Ben
Howe. But he's going against his own logic.
I don't think he is. I suspect that maybe you're just misinterpreting what he's saying. Do I think that Donald Trump is bad for the conservative party? I mean, the conservative movement? Yes. I think he's bad for the conservative movement, whether he wins or loses. Is it bad for the Republican Party if he wins? I'll tell you what happens if he wins. What he wins is like people like Ben Howe lose. They lose their job. But there are other people who win. And those people will continue on, and they will just it's not like the Republican Party is going to say, oh, what's become of us? I mean, look at the way they're reacting now.
Yes, I agree. So in my idea, just let me clarify that idea of people coalescing. I mean that if Hillary Clinton is president, like right now, Barack Obama's president, he's pushing the TPP, which you pointed out, a lot of Democrats are against, right?
Right.
Yet there's a chance he still might get it through, which is why he's pushing for it, because he knows there's a chance.
Well, so he wants it to go through. That's why he's pushing it. He knows that it's in trouble. That's why he's having to work so hard. And frankly, I think that I think there's plenty of evidence that it's not going to happen, the very least on his watch.
Yeah, that's good news, right? So,
yes,
So my point is he helped split the opposition. Like, the Democrats are like, wait a minute, my Democrat president's for this. This is some horrible right-wing policy, though. That's what I've been told, but he's for it. So it split. If it was a Republican proposing this, all the Democrats would coalesce, all the independents.
If it was a Republican proposing this, it would have passed already, because they control both houses of Congress, and it would have passed.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. My theory.
Do you refute that?
Do I refute that it would have already passed?
If the president, if it was George Bush or Donald Trump right now, and you had a Republican Senate and a Republican House, that the TPP wouldn't pass? The reason why the TPP is not going to come up for a vote in the lame duck session is because it's Obama trade.
Right. So you're saying the Republicans don't want to be seen going along with anything Barack Obama does.
Right.
So you're saying that a Democrat pushing the TPP is a good, is not as bad as a Republican pushing the TPP, so we should vote Democrat.
Well, I don't think Hillary Clinton's going to push the TPP.
Honestly?
Yeah. I think it's too toxic for her at this point. I think there's too many people in the Democratic Party who are going to do it. And frankly, if you have a Republican-controlled Senate and House, yes, it's better for a Democrat to push the TPP, because they're not going to give Hillary trade either. They're going to follow the exact same strategy they followed with Obama, which is obstruct. So in the same dynamic that prevented Barack Obama from cutting Social Security benefits because the Republican Party wouldn't go along with him, and then ultimately the Democratic Party got strengthened and they completely changed their position on it by 180 degrees. That is what I expect that dynamic to continue.
Yes, I remember when George Bush also proposed privatizing Social Security, and it was dead on arrival because...
Well, privatizing Social Security is far more extreme than simply cutting benefits.
Right, right.
But I'm in favor of expanding benefits, and the Democratic Party is now, that's the official position of the Democratic Party and all of the Democrats in the Senate.
Right. Did you know since Bernie endorsed her, Hillary stopped talking about climate change in her speeches? You know, she's exporting fracking around the world. She says the Republicans don't accept the science of climate change. She says she does. And we all know the science says that fracking is way worse for climate change than anyone believes. And yet here she is exporting it. So that's the kind of thing, the doublespeak, that people can't give their vote to. I can't give my vote to that, Sam.
So you're going to enable the guy who thinks that climate change is a hoax because you think that's going to get us further down the line?
No. I say it's time for a revolution, and we have to throw off the neoliberal agenda, which is pro-fracking, which is anti-climate change and anti-science. And, you know, we are going to have to, you know, we are going to have right now.
Do you think Donald Trump would have okayed the Keystone Pipeline?
Yes.
Me too. Do you think Donald Trump will do that when he gets into office?
Yes. I think he'll do all the bad things you can think of. I think
so
that,
why would you not why would you not want to put someone in who's in position who is going to be relying on your votes to get reelected, who's going to have to address Bernie Sanders as a powerful senator in her own party? Why would you not want that person who is closer to, even if you think that she's a horrible human being who is going to continue to wreck the planet? And you and I, maybe we agree on that. Why would you not want that person in charge? Because they are accountable, more accountable to Bernie Sanders and Bill McKibben and to the Democrats in the House who are against these things than Donald Trump, who could give F-all about those people and, in fact, benefits politically from telling them to go F-off.
Right. And there, and my reason is because I'm playing a longer game. I see we obstruct Trump.
How
for
much
two
time
years,
do you think we have?
2 years.
2 years?
2 years. And then 2 years we flip. And by the way, and people are forgetting, you know, that they're going to be redoing the gerrymandering based on the census that's coming up, right?
Why do you think the Democrats are going to control the state houses?
No, they're not. That's what I'm saying. That what, you know, why do you, what's happened is that when Barack Obama was president, that, you know, people vote against him. You know, a midterm election, it goes against the incumbency. So that's what people blame
more often than not, but not in 2002.
Okay. So my point being that I don't think a Democratic presidency helps fix any of the problems we really need to fix. In fact, it makes a lot of them worse. And the Democrats got in bed with
so let me ask you this. If Bernie Sanders was the nominee, Jimmy, would you continue to espouse this? Because, of course, this would mean the end of the Republican Party as we know it and the conservative movement. So would you also not vote if Bernie Sanders was the nominee?
No, because Bernie Sanders isn't a neoliberal. I'm saying that people don't realize what they're getting with Hillary is not the opposite.
But your
of
theory,
Trump.
Your theory of Donald Trump is that the reason why you would enable his presidency is because it's going to destroy the conservative movement. I mean, so it's short term. I mean, why wouldn't you espouse this if it's only going to be 2 years and we can weather the storm and the Democrats could? Why would you? Support Bernie Sanders?
Well, it's a risk assessment, right? So right now, if my choices are Donald Trump or neoliberal warmongering Hillary Clinton in bed with Wall Street frackers and the big pharma, I'm going to say the risk, I'll take that risk of Donald Trump destroying the Republican Party. But if I get a real progressive that the country is behind and he can raise awareness and consciousness about what it means to be a real socialist, that we're the richest country the face of the earth has ever seen, and we can afford universal health care, and we can afford a college for everybody, and we can regulate Wall Street and have a good economy, I'll take that bet. That's my risk assessment there. But if my risk assessment, my choices are Hillary and Donald, I'm going to, that's a different risk.
And so you have basically said that the Supreme Court is irrelevant in this assessment too, right?
Because
let me just get this clear. Because the Democrats are going to filibuster for 2 years, then the Democrats are going to take over the Senate, and then they're going to continue to filibuster for another 2 years. And because of the collapse of the Republican Party, we're going to get a Democrat that you can support. Who might that be? Do you have an idea 4 years out who the Democrat you're going to support for president is? Or is it going to be Jill
Stein?
Sure,
I like Elizabeth Warren.
Okay, so you think Elizabeth Warren is going to run 4 years and she's going to get elected and then everything's going to be fine? That's
so,
the plan?
I mean, Sam, my plan is to filibuster any bad nominees that Donald Trump nominates. And we come to a compromise. Hey,
so you think the Democrats can maintain a filibuster over the course of those 4 years if there's two vacancies or three vacancies?
You think that Donald Trump can keep nominating maniacs to the Supreme Court who isn't a compromised judge? Why can't we force him to nominate a compromised judge? Why wouldn't we put the pressure on him? By the way, you act. Like
I would just say
scandals.
Thomas.
There will be constant
Alito,
scandals.
Roberts.
Constant scandals surrounding Donald Trump. He will be the most ineffective president. This whole idea that somehow he will be equal standing when he nominates someone to the Supreme Court is ridiculous. They're going to rip him a new one every time he does something. He will be over-scrutinized. Hillary won't be as scrutinized as
you're going to have a Democratic Senate and Congress for 2 years. They're going to be able to pass every single piece of legislation they want.
You're saying Republican. In 2 years, well,
you're going to have a Republican House, a Republican Senate, a Republican president for 2 years.
For 2 years. Yeah, I know that. This is my risk assessment. My risk assessment is that when Donald Trump proposes crazy stuff, we can coalesce, we can block him. Also, that the Democrats can filibuster horrible stuff in the Senate. I'm saying fight, don't give in.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've made your case.
It doesn't sound. I mean, Sam, I just want. I understand we disagree, and I could be wrong. I'm saying this is my risk.
No,
assessment.
Jimmy, you're wrong.
I don't think it's because I don't understand.
It is because because the idea that Peter Thiel and Merrick Garland would rule the same and there would be no demonstrable difference is absurd. It's absurd, Jimmy. I'm sorry. It's absurd.
That's not my idea. I don't even know who Peter Thiel is that much. So I that's not my idea. I'm not trying to throw my friend Steve under the bus, but that's not my main point. And I'll concede that point that Peter Thiel, I don't even know who he is really.
The idea that the Democrats are going to take back the Senate and are going to be able to filibuster for 2 years. And assuming that no other vacancy opens up also ignores all of the political history of the history of this country. I've never heard of a 2 year failure to fill a Supreme Court seat, and certainly not during a time where there's no other news, and not during where the Republicans are going to control both houses. I'm sorry, it's absurd.
You know what?
It's a screenplay.
You know what else I never heard of? Is that the war crimes being ordered at the top of government and nobody prosecuting them. I never heard of our government suspending habeas corpus, which is in the Magna Carta. They did that. I couldn't believe what they
under
did.
Under a Republican president with
table.
Republican
I
justices.
I can't believe we have a surveillance state right now. I can't believe you want me to vote for a candidate who was full-throated supporting going in and destabilizing the Middle East.
No, Jimmy, I don't want you to vote for anybody. Jimmy, you're missing my point. I don't want you to vote. I don't care who you vote for. You live in California. What I want you to do is to stop offering theories about politics on your platform that are bogus, that are not.
Proved to you they're not bogus, Sam. You haven't
didn't.
Proved that they're bogus at all, except that you said it. I think I just kind of showed you how you're wrong about all this stuff, and you're voting out of fear again. Out of fear. Oh, because there might be 2 Supreme Court judges. What if there's 3? What if the moon falls into Lake Michigan? What are we going to do then?
Now, Jimmy, let's talk about risk assessment.
Should we just roll over?
Do you think there's a difference in the probability that 2 80-year-olds with multiple cases of cancer are going to serve out their term versus the moon falling into Lake Michigan?
I just disagree with your forecasting, Sam. I don't agree with it. I think it's a bigger risk.
Do you want to look at actuarial tables for the life expectancy of an 80-year-old man who's had multiple cancers?
Sam, I can right now get you a great deal on term life insurance, and you know that's the best insurance there is.
I have term.
See? You know it. Sam, this is about me being better looking, isn't it?
It's not funny to me, and that's the problem, is that it is not funny to me. I think it's really dangerous.
What is dangerous? People vote their conscience?
No. I think what's dangerous is, honestly, is using your platform and espousing fantastical notions that could be really detrimental to the lives of literally millions of people.
Did you say this about MSNBC when they were pushing the Hillary Clinton candidacy?
Yeah.
Did you say that they were irresponsible?
Yeah. Well, I don't. I mean, I disagreed with them.
Yeah, but you didn't say they were just irresponsible and reckless and all that stuff to use their platform to tell people to vote for Hillary Clinton?
I don't watch it that often. The only show I watch is Hayes, and I don't think he was doing that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that if somehow if somebody disagrees with you to the left, they're irresponsible.
You're not disagreeing with me to the left. You're not disagreeing with me. We're not disagreeing on ideology. We're disagreeing on the way politics works. We're disagreeing on tactics. Yeah.
Right. And the people who disagree with me gave us frickin' Hillary Clinton. Geniuses. Fucking geniuses, Sam. So anybody who's supporting someone who gave full-throated support to the Iraq war, I don't need your advice on how to vote.
Well, I'm not advising you on how to vote, Jimmy.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to anybody.
Well, I mean, but you can make this about, you know, about your own personal affront that you feel and insults that you feel. But that's not what it's about.
It is insulting that anybody who is for somebody other than the main two parties is trying to dismiss them or you try to marginalize them. Not you, but you also, yes. But the mainstream establishment press also does that. They've been, you know, they're still calling Jill Stein. She's in bed with Putin now, and she's anti-vax. All this stuff. The same thing I did to Bernie. Bernie was a sexist. Bernie was a misogynist. You know, it's just ridiculous, right? So you get to vote for a third party. That's what democracy is all about, Sam. You get to have a choice. And this idea that you can't vote for a third party until a lot of people are already voting for it is an F argument, okay? And there's a reason why we don't have
people
justice
can, people can vote. People can vote. Nobody, listen, you're making the same argument that that right-wingers make. Like, you're trying to censor my speech. You can vote any way you want.
This is all about
some type of a personal affront. And I don't care. I don't care about anybody's feelings in this. I don't care if people feel marginalized.
Right.
I don't care. It's not what this is about.
Well, I know it's about that you feel like somebody who has a different political opinion. Everybody who's in the Green Party is reckless to you.
No, that's not the case.
Just me.
No, I don't think that you're reckless because of your support of the Green Party. I think you're reckless because of the way that you're articulating tactics and the idea that you're dismissive of the Supreme Court, and you're basically not providing any context for the plan that you have that this is going to long-term work out well for people. I mean, just in the past 5 months, we've seen the importance of having even a split Supreme Court in terms of enfranchising hundreds of thousands of voters, in terms of maintaining the existence of public sector unions. I mean,
I agree. Sam, I agree with you on this. It's very important. The Supreme Court is very, so that's the straw man. I don't think it's not important. I think it is very important. And I laid out my strategy for how the Democrats could fight. Now, you lay out a strategy for how the Democrats could roll over. And that's just the difference between me and you. And I think yours is complacent. It's established.
How do you know on day one? How do you know on day one, Mitch McConnell? Wait a second. How do you know on day one, Mitch McConnell won't change the rules to get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court justices?
How do you know on the first day Hillary won't bomb Syria with a nuclear weapon?
Well, all right.
How do you know? You know,
I also don't know that the moon won't fall into Lake Michigan.
Right.
But you know what? I mean, honestly, Jimmy, to make those analogies, I think is indicative. And people can judge for themselves. People can judge for themselves. If people think that it is so far-fetched that Mitch McConnell will take the next step and get rid of filibusters or change the threshold for filibusters for Supreme Court nominees so that Donald Trump can get his nominee through is the same as Hillary Clinton sending a nuclear weapon to Syria. If people genuinely think the chances of those are the same, they can assess that.
So every crazy, fearful scenario you can concoct in your fearful, fear-riddled brain is accurate and makes sense. Right? That to you. Every crazy. Every time I say
people,
something, you move the goalposts once again. What if Mitch McConnell does this? What if there's two Supreme Court justices?
The point
what
is, the this? Risk assessment that you're making doesn't actually include any awareness of how politics work, Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it does, Sam. And I just gave you my position, and you can't really refute it except you come up with some new fear scenario. So the scenario is the Democrats can filibuster. Right now, the Republicans aren't even giving the guy a hearing. So the fact is that can happen, but you want to roll over. It's a weak, it's spineless Democrat.
The Republicans are not filibustering now. They're just not bringing up a nomination. They're not filibustering.
Without batting an eye. Without batting an eye, they won't fill that seat. And I'm saying the Democrats could do the same thing. And you're saying they won't.
Look at the polling of the Democratic Party. Look at the polling of the Democratic Party. The Democratic voters don't want their senators to do that. Republican voters do. Do you think that means nothing?
Oh, say it again.
If you look at polling as to actions of Democratic senators versus Republican senators, Republicans don't want compromise. Republican voters, Democratic voters do. Now, you and I may not agree with that, may not want Democratic voters to compromise, but that's what they do. Politicians react to what voters want.
We all know they don't.
They do in this instance.
We know
they
that.
Do. We do know they do that, right? We do know that because we've never seen, Democratic politicians come out and say, I won't compromise my principles. I won't compromise.
I'm going to write this down. Sam Sater says that Congress responds to the will of voters. This is a new one.
All right.
That's a new one because we know it's been proven scientifically, Sam, that that's not true. That's why we already live in an oligarchy, Sam. We already know that. You don't know that? Haven't you read those articles?
No, I've interviewed all those people, Jimmy. Look, let me tell you something.
I'm sorry, what?
I've interviewed all those people who wrote those articles.
Oh, so you know this.
Yeah, I do know this. Now, Jimmy, look.
Are you ignoring it?
People can assess whether or not your plan, I'll let you lay it out one more time without any interruption. How's this going to work? Donald Trump gets elected, and then tell me who controls the Senate and the House, and then what happens going forward.
So, but I just want to make sure you're standing by that Congress is influenced by voters.
I know that Democratic politicians project that they will compromise and Republicans don't, and because their voters want those things.
Okay.
And there's there's no big money interests that are on the other side of that. And so that Martin Gillard's research that you're talking about shows that the only time that money trumps is when it's contested. And money doesn't give a shit about whether or not Republicans put on a face that they're not going to compromise and obstruct. And money doesn't give a shit whether or not Democratic politicians compromise. They don't care about that. They care about their issues. So go back, read that Gillard stuff and understand it better. But give your plan.
So you're people saying that can assess it. Is it that I'm misinterpreting that Congress actually?
No,
is
you read the top line. But give your plan. Give your plan so that people can assess it, and we'll let them decide.
Okay. So we didn't settle that issue. We'll move on to the next one. My plan is that if you're an environmentalist, if you want to re-regulate Wall Street, if you're for less war. If you're for fighting climate change, if you're against fracking, if you're in that movement, that the Democratic Party offers you a graveyard, that you're going to have to fight those same people. So I agree with Chris Hayes and Ben Howe from RedState.com that if Donald Trump is president, he fractures the Republican Party. Paul Ryan is not going to usher through his agenda. He's such an incompetent. There will be all nothing but scandal, 100%. He will be ineffectual. He won't be able to get anything done. And in 2 years, we flip the Congress, we flip the Senate to Democrat. We could do it right now if Hillary was a little smarter. Number two, and then in 4 years, we get a real Democrat instead of a fake liberal who's going to push Republican policies. And as far as the Supreme Court goes, right now, I've already laid it out a million times. Right now, I say the Democrats can do what the Republicans are doing. I know they're not filibustering, but what they're doing is they're not filling the seat on purpose. And you think that the public opinion will have some make them compromise. Anyway, I'm saying that we can do what the Republicans are doing. You're advocating for more spineless liberalism and roll over and take it. I'm saying let's fight the power now because we're going to have to fight the power no matter what. We're going to have to fight Hillary to get rid of more wars. We're going to have to fight Hillary to get rid of fracking. We're going to have to fight Hillary to re-regulate Wall Street. So that's my position. I appreciate you letting me make it. And I understand that you think I'm uninformed. And I don't think that of you. I think you're very informed. I think we just disagree. And I was kidding. I think you're more handsome than me.
Well, I think we look very similar, frankly. And I know we buy all our clothes and get our glasses at the same place. I mean, I think it's, people would have trouble picking us out of a lineup. I mean, yeah, I think there it is. I mean, people can assess whether or not the chances of the Democrats taking back the Senate in 2 years, whether or not Democrats, it would be nice if they did a unprecedented filibuster for 2 years, and that there's no danger of other Supreme Court justices passing away, and that at a time where there will be no major election of a reality show star to attract people's attention away from their preventing a fifth justice from ninth justice from sitting on the court, and perhaps an eighth justice from sitting on the court. All that would be wonderful if that were the case. And it would be great if a Republican Senate and House and President passed no legislation and didn't in any way harm climate change, didn't reverse the Paris Accords as small as a step in the right direction as they may be, or undo things like, I don't know, FDA regulations, EPA regulations, education regulations. That would be great if all that happens. And for your sake, you know, I hope you're right, that all those things do happen.
And I hope you're right, that those, I hope I'm right, too. I'm saying I'm taking a calculated risk. And when the choices are Hillary and Donald Trump, this is, and I'm not telling anybody to vote for Donald Trump, by the way. I'm saying if you want to hold your nose and vote for Hillary, that's okay, too. I'm just letting people know that there's a different, there's another work out. That's what I'm saying. And that all the pundits who thought they knew everything about everything are the ones who led us to this position right now. All the pundits who've been screwing over working people for 30 years.
I'm a pundit who thinks he knows everything about everything, and I don't feel like I'm responsible for where we are right now.
No, I've been telling people it's mostly Sam Seder.
Well, as long as they spell my name right, then that'll work out. Well, Jimmy, I appreciate your calling in, and you know,
I appreciate you treating me fairly, and it's okay if you call me names. So I know you like me.
I didn't call you any names.
I say it's okay if you do in the future.
All right, Jimmy. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Bye, Michael.
Bye. I'm like like a kid, like conflicting family system here.
It's when that one uncle comes to town and Michael just gets torn between the both of them.
Yeah, one who I'm emotionally with, but the other one I'm substance. No, I don't know what to say. There's no argument there. I love Jimmy, but there's just no argument there. I mean, he knows that I think that, but I guess that had to happen. That was cathartic for everybody.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I think so. I don't feel cathartic. Kelly doesn't feel cathartic, she said. She just feels, I mean.
I feel tense, yeah. Nervous.
I feel angry.
All right, well.
Now, here's my theory.
At least he didn't.
In 3 years into Hillary's term, Mercury goes into retrograde, okay? Then what happens is she reads a biography of Che because it helps distract her from her Parkinson's symptoms. Then she decides we need to nationalize the railway system.
There's a regarding Henry scenario with Hillary, too, right?
No, she's where so irredeemably evil.
The Parkinson's affects her, you know, her frontal lobe. And suddenly, you know, she doesn't do any of those things. She doesn't nuke Syria on day one.
I just don't understand why Jimmy Dore
is driving around LA calling into radio shows?
No. Why he, I mean, at every point in the argument, I wanted to say, Sam's been doing this for over a decade. I don't know, a decade and a half. Why do you think you know what you're talking about more than he does?
Well,
and
that's not, no.
Let's not go into that. Come on.
No,
come
but
on,
that's not
on.
The point. That's not the point. The
No, but he kept referring to Chris Hayes. If he, as if he's only watching Chris Hayes. And it's like, you're on Chris Hayes. So I don't understand. Where's he getting these conclusions? Where's
Fun
he,
fact. Who both gave Sam him- and Chris Hayes resemble lesbians. As does Jimmy Dore, except in a bit more of a trucker lesbian variety.
I just imagine his argument coming from like some night in a bar where some guy told him an idea.
I think, listen, there was a lot of rancor during the primary. And I think some people take it too personally and they resent these people. And look, I went through this when during the course of the Iraq War and during the first Bush administration, where there was a lot of so-called, we call them villagers or serious people at the time, who would denigrate people who were anti-war, who were saying that on the left, nominally left, center left, saying you're being irresponsible and whatnot, and that created a lot of acrimony. But, you know, to use that as part of the calculation, the idea that, like, this is payback for those dumb pundits, it just clouds the calculation. That's not... That is, to me, an irresponsible way of calculating it. Which is not to say that the sense that those people were a-holes. I mean, like, you know, that's why Jimmy kept going back to, you know, those people who brought us to this point. I get it. But that doesn't change the reality. You know, Billy hit me first, so I'm going to, you know, burn down our house. That's not the way you do politics.
Only fucking versions. I love the endless analogies.
Joan Walsh wrote a bad column, so I will castrate myself. I can do this too.
All right. We're going to take a break and go into the fun half.
My God. Can we just do the friggin' freebie?
What, the freebie for everybody?
Freebie for everybody. It's 138, for Christ's sake.
We didn't even get through the Jimmy.
Yeah, got to the next Jimmy clip.
How many more Jimmy clips did we have?
Oh, we just had about 3 more minutes of that one.
3 more minutes?
2.
Is it worth it playing?
No, it's really not.
I think we might have covered it, actually.
Do you think we covered it? All right.
Rachel Maddow did a dumb Bernie segment, so I'm going to pour acid on my face. We can all do this.
Oh, boy. All right. So let's all coalesce around Elizabeth Warren during a Senate committee hearing, rebuking Wells Fargo CEO John Stump. Now, Hillary Clinton has already put out a statement saying that to support the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and Elizabeth Warren in this regard. She wrote a letter to Wells Fargo's customers. Saying that the Consumer Financial Protection Agency will be protected, I would imagine, under a Trump administration. And as inept as the Republicans are in Congress, they would defund the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau on day one as part of their budget, which would be signed by Donald Trump. As moronic as they are, they already have written up that budget. All Trump would have to do is sign his name. I'm quite sure he's capable of doing that. And if not, I'm sure they have stamps to use the Trump signature that they use for the ties that they could just bang and do it.
Can you just send it to some kid in China to sign today? I'm depressed.
Hillary Clinton will not sign legislation that defunds the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau because all of her support, to the extent that she would have any as president, would crumble immediately.
And she'll be busy nuking Syria.
All right, but here is Elizabeth Warren rebuking CEO John Stumpf.
Personally, wasn't it, Mr. Stumpf? Do you know how much money, how much value your stock holdings in Wells Fargo gained?
Well, pause it for 1 second.
While this
I should remind you, the context of this is that 5,300 Wells Fargo's employees were fired for basically fraudulently creating accounts of non-customers or customers and putting them into other products. The Wells Fargo was fined between multiple agencies $185 million as a function of this. The CEO, Stumpf, has argued that we got rid of the bad apples. This has nothing to do with our culture here. I can assure you, we had no idea this was going on. I'm shocked, frankly, to hear about it.
Personally, wasn't it, Mr. Stumpf? Do you know how much money, how much value your stock holdings in Wells Fargo gained while this scam was underway?
Well, first of all, it was not a scam, and cross-sell is a way of deepening relationships. When customers
Through this, Mr. Stumpf. I asked you a very simple question. Do you know how much the value of your stock went up while this scam was going on?
It's all of my compensation is in our public
filing. Do you know how much it was?
It's all in the public filing.
Oh, you're right. It is all in the public records because I looked it up. While this scam was going on, you personally held an average of 6.75 million shares of Wells stock. The share price during this time period went up by about $30, which comes out to more than $200 million in gains, all for you personally, and thanks in part to those cross-sell numbers that you talked about on every one of those calls. You know, here's what really gets me about this, Mr. Stumpf.
Pause it. Just to be clear, the cross-sell is we've got this investment account, and we also sold them this other financial product. Now, what was happening is the customer never agreed to do the other financial product. They just sold it to him.
Those Wells Fargo guys are really onto something. It's brilliant. It's great.
Of those calls. You know, here's what really gets me about this, Mr. Stumpf. If one of your tellers took a handful of $20 bills out of the cash drawer, they'd probably be looking at criminal charges for theft. They could end up in prison. But you squeezed your employees to the breaking point so they would cheat customers and you could drive up the value of your stock and put hundreds of millions of dollars in your own pocket. And when it all blew up, you kept your job, you kept your multi-million dollar bonuses, and you went on television to blame thousands of $12 an hour employees who were just trying to meet cross-sell quotas that made you rich. This is about accountability. You should resign. You should give back the money that you took while this scam was going on, and you should be criminally investigated by both the Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission.
I think he probably disagrees. I think he's probably thinking, just focus on the money I have. Just focus on the money I have. This is the easiest $200 million you've ever had to make. He went on to say that we had a very, very, a culture where we would open to everybody. We actually even had a hotline where you could call in and report anything that you saw that was untoward in any fashion whatsoever. Well, CNN Money interviewed Bill Batto, a former Wells Fargo banker in Pennsylvania. He's a New Jersey man, he called an ethics hotline that they had set up and sent an email to Human Resources in September 2013 flagging unethical sales activities he was being instructed to do. 8 days after that email, copy of which CNN Money obtained, Batto was terminated. The stated reason? Tardiness. Too busy sending those ethics emails.
You were late because of the ethics complaints that you filed.
I think we're going to see some more activity here.
Also, not being a team player for Stump's bonuses.
Yeah. You're off the team. What else should we go to here? We don't have too much time. Last night in Kennesville, North Carolina, Donald Trump responding to the latest investigation, which shows that he has spent over $250,000 of his charity's money. And by his charity's money, I mean money that he collected from other people for the charity with his name on it. That happens. I mean, people raise money. But usually when billionaires start their charities, they put a little money in each year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that he has used his charity's money not just to buy the occasional life-size painting of himself, but he also used it to settle personal legal issues. He was fined by the town of Palm Beach over the height of the flagpole at Mar-a-Lago, and he settled the issue by donating to a charity of the town's choice.
I can hardly be charitable if I'm bogged down in legal complaints.
But by Trump donating to a charity, he got his charity to donate to the charity.
Synergy.
Which is illegal.
Synergy.
I mean, the story goes on. But here's how he responded, not directly to it, but it's sort of a bank shot last night in North Carolina.
We're going to get the Gulf states to pay for safe zones. We'll lead the project. Like, it's called OPM. I do that all the time in business, called other people's money. There's nothing like doing things with other people's money because it takes the risk. You get a good chunk of it, and it takes the risk. We're going to do this, in this case, from a humanitarian standpoint. OPM, other people's money.
Other people's money. Now we really understand that is exactly what he does.
Truth in Advertising in the Trump Foundation name.
Yeah. That's also, you got to give it to him for that. Katrina Pearson continues to have a rough go of it wherever she goes. I mean, this woman needs a medal. I'm not sure what I would print on the medal. I'm not sure what I would call the medal. But she continues to go out there and gets called out by just about everybody. Here she is with Alan Combs, I guess, filling in on Fox Business. Does he have a show on there now?
No, this is Trish, what's her name, hosting it. Alan Combs is just on.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Aggressive. You know, I don't know if we can blame Bill Clinton for the whole thing, but it certainly seems as though there were some policies that had existed for decades quite well. Once they were gone, we got in a lot of hot water.
All right. Pause it for 1 second. Incidentally, they're talking about the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, which largely happened under Bill Clinton it was repealed. There was a specific act that I can't remember two senators' name.
I think it was Graham Leach.
Graham Leach.
Yeah, you said that.
And the Democratic platform, which, as you know, the Clinton people controlled, now calls for what Bernie Sanders was calling for and Elizabeth Warren were calling for, a 21st century version of Glass-Steagall, which would essentially sever commercial banking activities, you know, the vanilla stuff. We take your savings. You get a checking account. Here's a CD from investment banking things, which is we use your deposits to short, you know, aluminum, and then also buy up all the aluminum plants and see if it goes down. Or we slice and dice a bunch of, I don't know, car loans and pretend all the stuff in there is grade A. So that's what a 21st century Glass-Steagall Act would be. And here are these titans talking about it.
In a lot of hot water. Well, you can blame the politicians in general on both sides of the aisle that have been in bed with Wall Street and corporate America for a very long time, which is exactly why you see this uprising on both sides of the aisle by the average worker who say enough is enough. This is the fault of Bill Clinton and those that followed him, and as well as Hillary Clinton,
here we go.
who continue to push for bailing out the banks. They're too big to fail, deemed by the government, and the little people are getting hurt.
All right, pause it for a second. Now, of course, Glass-Steagall had nothing to do with bailing out the banks, nothing whatsoever. But who cares? It's banks, and the other thing was about banks, so.
Mahler Bank, a mom-and-pop shot, somebody we'd be going to jail. Final word, Alan.
It is disingenuous to blame this on Hillary Clinton and let Donald Trump off the hook. He's been an inside player.
He was never voted for a single one of those bills. Can I please finish the sentence, Katrina?
You had a lot of time to speak here. Donald Trump was an inside player in Atlantic City. He was an inside player with the government. He got all kinds of largesse from the government. He wouldn't have had his career had he not gotten tax breaks. He would sue the government when he didn't get tax breaks. And that's how he built his career, on the backs of taxpayers. Wow. So don't act all innocent like it's all
legal,
Hillary Clinton.
All legal,
come on.
Alan.
There you go. Alan Combs slapping down Katrina Pearson.
You really know that you're in rough shape. Alan Combs is the one holding him.
All right, we got to talk about this. Howie Ka.
Dude.
Is a Boston right-wing talk show host. Not the brightest bulb on the tree, but none of them are, to be fair. He had Representative Louie Gohmert, who has a lot to say to the folks in Boston. Of course. And Gohmert has an interesting theory about the assassination of the U.S. assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki. Now, we have discussed this, I don't know, dozens of times more on this program in terms of the kill list, essentially, that the Obama administration has created. The legitimacy of a targeted assassination, broadly speaking, but also of American citizens, and the assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki's 16-year-old son, who was trying to find him 2 weeks later. Louie Gohmert has a very different take on this than we do. He's not so concerned about the targeted assassination program as much as he is as to why they took out Anwar al-Awlaki.
Senator Phil Graham, former Senator Phil Graham, I can't imitate Senator Graham very well, but anyway, he said, we always feed the dogs that are trained to bite us. And I thought,
that's not a bad imitation.
What we're still doing. We're still feeding the dogs that are trained to bite us. And no, I'm not saying Muslims are dogs. They're not. I've got very good friends around the world that I count on to help keep, you know, the world safe as it is. They don't want radical Islamists. One of them is who Trump just met with.
Yeah, al-Sisi.
President al-Sisi over from Egypt.
And they, we were angry. The administration was angry when he overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Didn't they briefly cut off American aid, military aid to the Egyptians?
And of course, and Obama demanded that they put the Muslim Brotherhood guy, Morsi, back. And by the way, Morsi is another one of those that had his wife come to America to have a child so they could have an American citizen.
Oh, an anchor baby. Yeah. We can't say anchor baby anymore, though, can we?
Milwaukee, you know, the guy, the first American killed intentionally with a drone strike because he was too dangerous, and his name keeps coming up with Rahimi and all this stuff. Milwaukee was where his parents were from Yemen. They came to the U.S. on a college visa, had Al-Awlaki, took him back to Yemen, taught him to hate America, and that's why they couldn't keep this terrorist Al-Awlaki from coming in. And I think one of the reasons they needed to blow him up with a drone strike is if he'd ever been caught, arrested, he would have sung about all the different people he worked with in the administration. I mean, we've got pictures of him leading prayers with the Capitol Hill staffer, Muslim staffers here. On Capitol Hill.
I gotta stop you. I gotta stop you there.
Yeah, you gotta stop him there. Al-Awlaki was actually hired by the U.S. government to go around and be an emissary at one time, and I believe that was during the Bush administration.
We gotta call Obama, tell him to kill Al-Awlaki, or else I won't be able to run for president.
Shut up! You're not going anywhere, anyways.
This guy will sing, I swear to God. Doesn't know the code of the street. He's got no backbone. He's a pussy. Put the screws to him on one point.
We've got to get to Al-Awlaki to get the secret messages. We can print it on Breitbart. We'll do a flow chart of all the Muslim Brotherhood who control the Obama administration.
Swear to God, if that Elmer Fudd guy gets his hands on him, the whole thing's ruined. Light them up.
Jesus.
Allahu Akbar.
All right, let's go to the phone.
Please forgive me, my Muslim brother. Hopefully Allah will shine upon you, but I can't trust that you keep your lips sealed.
Let's go to, you're calling from a 515 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hello. Hello, this is Sanjeeva from Ames, Iowa. I was actually canvassing with a friend who is actually much more pro-Hillary Clinton than I am, and I kind of noticed the people in the college dorms having that same logic that Jimmy Dore was kind of espousing just earlier.
I can't imagine where they got it from.
Yeah, and honestly, even I mean, I have my disagreements with Hillary, but they have no basis in political history in the United States. Like, I've watched, like, All the Way with LBJ and movies like Lincoln, and you kind of learn that you have to make deals with people you don't necessarily agree with. For example, with the 14th Amendment that ended slavery, Lincoln got two Ohio Democrats to vote for it by giving them jobs as postmaster generals. You know, it's kind of sickening if you think about it, but it was done.
Yeah.
In All the Way with
Go ahead.
And in All the Way with LBJ, you kind of saw how Martin Luther King was kind of dealing with LBJ, because LBJ in 1948 gutted the 1948 Civil Rights Act just for votes for the Dixie Cats in the South. I mean, Martin Luther King could have thrown his hands in the air and gone like, civil rights or bust. But even though Barry Goldwater had no intention of passing any civil rights act.
Yeah, those are two very good examples. But I mean, they're also, you know, you would have to believe. I mean, the idea that I am advocating for Democrats to not filibuster for 2 years. Assuming there's only one vacancy. No, I just also, know that if I drop a pencil, it's going to fall on the floor because gravity exists. I can advocate all I want for it to float and levitate, but that doesn't make it likely to happen. And the reality is, I don't think there's ever been a precedent for a 2-year filibuster of a Supreme Court. Now, what the Republicans are doing is unprecedented, but they're a fundamentally different party. That's why I think this country is so messed up is because of the Republican Party going off the rails and the media that doesn't hold them accountable. I think, you know, the situation would be different if there wasn't a presidential election going on, or in particularly if it wasn't Trump running, there'd be more attention paid to it. But nobody pays attention to it. But I can assure you that in the summer of 2017, when the news media is looking for a story, that ongoing Democratic filibuster, there'd be some, every news outlet would have a countdown clock on there. I mean, it's there, yeah. There's no real theory there. It's just assertions and hope.
And also, kind of as a person of color, I had a friend in Wisconsin. He was beat. And he got beaten up by a Trump supporter because he thought he was a Muslim. So I kind of feel like some people, like Jimmy Dore, don't take Trump that seriously. But his rhetoric does affect how other people get. People will get hurt by a Trump presidency. Who don't want to be hurt. Honestly, he kind of scares me, to be honest.
I appreciate
the
call.
Like people aren't giving that. People, I don't know, especially these white Bernie or Buster, aren't giving much thought in what he's going to do to other communities. The racism he's stoking to...
Yeah, your phone's breaking up, but I get your point. I appreciate the call. And to make that point, there have people seen this? The picture of the Skittles. Do people know what the Skittles thing is about? Let me see where I have this. Here it is. Where is the Skittles thing?
I'm going to make a quick point about LBJ. You think LBJ is going to do anything on civil rights when the Southern Democrats put him where he is?
What's that?
That's basically the argument.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
How could LBJ, how naive of you to think LBJ will do anything on civil rights? Because did you see Sam Rayburn from Georgia?
Was the guy who made his career.
Yeah, Southern Democrats put him where he is. Why would he do anything on civil rights?
Right. The same notion, I guess, being that if the corporate sector put Hillary into office with campaign contributions or whatever, how could she ever do anything?
But here's the thing.
It's a flawed logic.
I don't think that you need to make the argument that Hillary is a secret liberal or is going to change her stripes or whatever. I will stipulate all the things. I don't think they're necessarily accurate. I think there's more to recommend her. Not my preferred candidate, not my preferred issue set. I don't like how she campaigns, etc. But I could stipulate everything Jimmy was saying. And still, his calculation makes no sense. Even if his assessment of Hillary, it's possible Hillary Clinton could very well surprise people and surprise even people like Jimmy. But she doesn't have to for it to make more sense in terms of who it would benefit. All right, getting back to the last caller's point that apparently he had a friend, an African-American friend, who was beat up because...
Sikh, I thought.
Was it Sikh? Did he say?
Sikh friend, yeah.
Who some Trump supporters thought was a Muslim and beat him up. I don't think Donald Trump is a Nazi. I don't think Donald Trump Jr. is a Nazi. I do think that they are wittingly or unwittingly using frames that were used by Nazis to demonize different groups of people. I think their chosen people are different, excuse the pun, this time around. Donald Trump tweeted out a little meme. I don't know if he put it together or not. Donald Trump Jr., I should say. A little tweet comparing Syrian refugees to Skittles. He writes, "This image says it all." And the image itself says, "You can't take, would you grab a handful of these if I told you just a few were poison?" And the idea being that Syrian refugees are like Skittles, and that some of them may be poison. And would you just grab them and eat them? Well, the concept dates back to at least 1938, writes Noemi LaChance at The Intercept, and a children's book called Der Giftpilz, or The Toadstool, in which a mother explains to her son that it only takes one Jew to destroy an entire people. The book's author, Julius Streicher, also published a newspaper that Adolf Hitler loved to read, Der Stürmer. Newspaper published anti-Semitic, anti-Catholic, anti-communist, anti-capitalist propaganda. The idea is that you got to be careful about mushrooms. You pick the wrong one, it could poison you. Stryker's book talks about where a boy named Franz learns about the Jews from his mother. They disguise themselves, or however friendly they try to be, affirming 1,000 times their good intentions to us. One must not believe them. Jews they are, and Jews they remain. For our Volk, it's our people, they are poison. Like the poisonous mushroom, says Franz. Yes, my child, just as a single poisonous mushroom can kill a whole family, so too can a solitary Jew destroy a whole village, a whole city, even an entire nation. So, they're not Nazis, the Trumps. They're just using the similar type of framework to describe Muslims. You've got to extremely vet them so that the mushrooms don't poison you. Speaks to what that guy had to say. Calling from an 814 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam, this is Greg from the North Coast. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Greg. What's on your mind? Got to be quick, because I get a lot. I'm
okay,
late.
Okay, in response to Jimmy, hey, Jimmy, the habeas corpus was suspended, and it was suspended in 1868 by Lincoln. So, Jimmy, you've just got to put down the revolutionary theory books and start picking up political history. His arguments are just a thin veneer of logic, and beneath that, he responds to any type of argument that you may have proposed, Sam, for instance, just in reapportionment, thinking that that's just, you know, something that's magically going to happen. The Republicans spent 30 years building that, putting that together, and it's going to take a lot longer for the left to unseat that. So put down the revolutionary theory books, Jimmy. I like listening to the phone calls on your podcast. I think you're a really funny guy, but you really put me off with your political stuff, political theory. Bone up on some stuff. 2 years, he proposes that 2 years there will be a change. I want to remind him that in a two-year period at the beginning of this century, a Supreme Court installed a president that we were attacked, the worst attack in American history, and we went to war in a country that wasn't even involved in that attack, Iraq. So 2 years can make a huge difference.
That's right.
I got to jump. Thanks,
I appreciate it. Thanks. Let's go to the IMs. Let's start towards the end here. Brooke, the Republicans want someone like Trump completely incompetent so they can sabotage. It's terrifying to think what they would do in 4 years. Jimmy's argument doesn't hold up. Sorry, not sorry. Greta Dog, MR has really lost its way. Used to be a champion of progressive ideas, but now just triangulation politics. Demonizing the other side does nothing to hold your side to principles. The only thing Dems have to do is be better than Trump. And that explains why we have such a poor candidate in Hillary Clinton.
Sam, remember, every day in show prep, I say, we got to hug the right wing, take what people like about them, take them out of the picture, and then demonize their base. And that's the way forward for the show. You got to triangulate. That's why when we say we care about the environment, we also do an interview with Lester Spence. So we send multiple signals. That's why when we advocate for redistribution, we also do something on the disenfranchisement of Native Americans so that people know that we're hitting multiple signals here.
We're gonna have Derek Jensen tomorrow on the environment, and then we're gonna bring in the CEO of Exxon for a fluffer piece.
There you go. If we're actually doing it. You have Derek Jensen on, then you have a guy who wrote the definitive guide to why BP is a great company.
Give me a...
That is the most insane I have ever heard in my life. Like, what kind of realm do you need to be living in to think that this is a triangulating... I mean, you could say it's... I don't think it's the most radical show available. I'm sure that there's pure anarchist or communist... Like, that's a valid critique, but triangulating, I mean... If that was true, we would be living in such a more progressive world. It would actually be great.
And we would be, things would be a little more cush around here.
No shit. Maybe it's actually a criticism that's insane and unfounded, but a smart path forward.
I love Sarah Palin. I love Jimmy, but I completely disagree that Republicans will fight Trump. The beauty of Trump and why I always think he was a Republican plant is he makes far-right wingers like Mike Pence seem like a sane, moderate politicians. Yeah, Mike Pence is horrible enough. And by all accounts, he was probably promised the same thing that that Kasich was. You're in charge of everything. Just Trump gets to dip in here and there.
I'm on the plane.
Levski.
Air Force One.
Nice piece on Ross Douthat's comment. No need to read the recent David Brooks piece, The Uses of Patriots. I'm sure it's just as horrible. One point that didn't come up in your discussion with Jimmy Dore is that we have every reason to believe to the left will be assessment, that the left will be assessment in the Clinton administration. In 2016, Republicans may be able to squeak out a win without minorities and women, but we are turning the corner demographically and culturally and have every reason to believe that we can push Hillary into promoting our priorities. I mean, I think it's a good bet. I mean, so far, so good.
Look how much you're throwing Elizabeth Warren around to help Senate candidates.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all know Elizabeth Warren is at this point.
Citizens of the world, Jimmy's scenarios are completely implausible. The Democrats could filibuster for 4 years, but they won't. Hillary could nuke the Middle East on day one, but she won't. And yet when you bring up changing the filibuster rules, which would be super easy to do, and which they certainly would be willing to do, and when you bring up the reality of SCOTUS judges' ages and physical condition, that is what Jimmy thinks is unreasonable to discuss. He's quite simply ignoring reality. His risk assessment is way, 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 way off. And it's not really subjective as he's making it out to be. There are actual probabilities of what could happen, and his fantastical notions are way off. Attorney Andrew, it's 12:39 Central Time, and I just got back to the office. Holy hell, were you arguing the whole time? Yes. Great leap forward. I love Jimmy trying to play a three-dimensional chess game with President Trump. Unfortunately, he's playing with the game after his opponent's already won. Washed his tiny hands, is in at Jimmy's house cucking his wife. This is insanity. Pucktart. No more Jimmy Dore. He has PTSD from the primaries. Macho. Sam, that's the worst show you've done in years. Paternalistically and repeatedly browbeating such a small segment of the electorate, Green Party swing voters in swing states, for weeks on the end, reeks of desperation and makes for bad radio. I think your assessment of what we've been doing is incorrect. Atticus, question, if Trump presidency happens and the crazy things you outline happen, wouldn't that help the Dems take back the Senate in 2 years? What are the crazy things I've outlined? You think it's that strange that they would cut the estate tax?
Don't forget the Majority Report playbook. First, you destroy the Green Party. You got to browbeat people who want to vote their conscience across the country.
I don't think that... seating someone like Thomas or Alito or Roberts to the court changes the outcome of the midterm elections. No, I don't. Not at all. There's no reason to believe that. Dolink, most galling is the focus left-right media on Clinton's vote for the war based on Cheney and company's faked intelligence. She was one of many. I protested the war. She didn't carry out war blunders. Trump's experts surrounding him include those who brought the war. GOP deflects responsibility for it. Media and Dem politicos don't confront Trump and GOP when they blame Obama for the ills of the economy by pointing out that GOP has blocked everything. I mean, I think largely that is in part a failure of Clinton as a candidate. But, Yes, I think it's the media, but I also think it's Democrats. I think it's Obama. They never set the predicate for this. Lawn Chair Media. Don King introduced Trump. It's all falling into place now. Trump TV Sports will sponsor pay-per-view boxing. Meanwhile, Trump TV News will provide wall-to-wall coverage of Benghazi hearings, O'Keefe smear pieces, and four-hour Alex Jones documentaries. Taco Truck, my Jimmy Dore impression. If I don't get my first choice, then I'm going to pout in the corner while Trump destroys the Republic. Umar Shami, I've never understood the trepidation amongst media intelligence into making Hitler comparisons of political figures. It assumes Hitler was such a uniquely bad individual and no such comparison could ever be valid. This is silly. After the Holocaust, the common refrain was never again. I don't think the meaning was, don't worry, nothing like this will ever happen again. It seems to me the consequence of making Hitler comparisons and being wrong are far less than being afraid of making them and being right. I mean, I think, look, it's easy. I think the problem is it's easy to overstate things. I think it's fair enough to say, like, look, this was a framework that the Nazis used to demonize people. And that's enough. But I think it loses its salience, particularly as we age, as a world, I guess. Calling from a 207 area code. Who's this?
You kidding? Serious?
What's that?
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
Damn! All right. Oh, buddy. Let me turn this.
Okay, Jimmy, you got to be quick.
Yes. I'm just going to go with this. Jimmy Dore doesn't do his homework. I guess Cornel West doesn't do his homework. I guess I don't do my homework. Of course, we know that's not true. All of these people are very, very good. Just looking at some different homework, all right? And one other thing I think is kind of funny how, like, hey, Matt, what's up, brother? And Mike.
Hey, Jimmy.
Saying how you're going to... Hey, what's up, guys?
Okay.
Are you going to vote for Hillary in New York State just because you're pissed at the Green Party, right?
Basically.
Here's what I'm going to do. Yeah. So fine. I think we're all cool people here, right? And we can make a deal.
No, we're not.
Maine is going to be a friggin' it's got to come down to some shit up here, man. Paula Page could win here. A guy like Trump could win.
Yep.
And I think it's incredible bullshit that, like, if anybody put down the Green Party ever, because they're the ones who are pushing for the stuff like ranked choice voting, same day voter registration, and the Democrats have not joined that fight, and they had a chance to for 20 million years. But anyhow, I like the Green Party all the way, right? I even fucking like the Libertarians a little bit. But so check it out. I love it. This is what I'm going to do. I'll vote for Hillary. I'll vote for Hillary. Hell yeah. But guess what? All of you, everybody in New York,
vote swap.
The whole crew, you're all going to vote for Jill Stein. Deal or no deal?
I would seriously contemplate that deal. I mean, I wouldn't go 4-1 necessarily, but because we may
want
to make more of these.
Four. I want all four.
It's like dealing with Donald Trump. He's
you're a Trump
deal
negotiator.
All right, well, Jimmy, let's...
You know what?
Let's...
I'll vote for Trump. If you don't vote for Jill Stein, I'm voting for Trump. All of you.
Well, then you can go fuck yourself, then.
All right, well, Jimmy, let's keep this conversation going.
Kidding,
but I think there's something to be said there.
All right,
peace out. Bye. Calling from a 515 area code. Who's this?
Hey, it's Jake in PA.
Hey, Jake, what's going on?
Also known as Cheney and Bussy.
Cheney
and Bushes.
What?
Sorry. Cheney and Bushes.
Cheney and
I think
Bushes.
I said, like, Gary. I was thinking Busey, like, I'm with Busey, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I want to call and say, big fan of Jimmy, listen to his podcast every week, but he's way wrong here, and Sam, you did a good job. And I want to also say, Jimmy, if you're still listening, it's not about how left you are versus how left Sam is. I am a full-blown communist. I literally want to seize the means of production. But I know that's not going to happen by November, and so I'm going to vote Hillary. But I see the Democrats and Republicans as basically two parties that both do what the capitalist class wants. One does 97%, one does 93% what they want. But within that margin, there's millions of lives that are going to be affected not just American lives, possibly around the world. And even as hawkish as Hillary is, she hasn't, like, asked, why can't we use nukes? And she's not the ultimate authority on that decision. Or she might be, or he might be, right? So there you go.
I would add, Cheney and Bush's, that it's my understanding that the United States Communist Party is endorsing Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not joking.
CP,
I'm not joking.
I think they always go with the Democrat.
Yeah.
That's they're very...
They're strategic.
Yeah, they're strategic.
I don't think they agree with her policies, per se.
Triangulating commies.
Well, I think, here's what you got to do.
Jake, I appreciate the call.
Stalinism. Well, I think they support her Stalinist commitment to murder her friends and endless death rain that she's unleashed across the country.
Georgia Farmer, Sam and Jimmy, totally a preview to Thanksgiving with the family this season. I can't wait. Epish, Joy Reid is red baiting. I'm going to commit self-immolation on Rockefeller Plaza. Majority Report, if you just say the magic words, you'd be more progressive. Hillary for prison. Keep doing what you're doing. The show's terrific. Matt and the BK... Didn't you hear how bad Stump felt? Is Jimmy Johnny Reefer Cakes roommate? Why does Jimmy assume that Bernie would have been able to get a single policy proposal passed by the GOP-controlled Congress? And the GOP would flay the Dems for blocking one, two, or three Supreme Court justices. Iron Chink, that Jimmy sounds like Alex Jones doing the Ken, Ken, and Ken show. A lot of people don't have the privilege to take his risk. He's waiting for a unicorn. What a cuck. Rob Cully. Normally, those bankers have to pay to be slapped around like that. Elizabeth Warren, take a bow. Fantastic stuff. Jimmy Gore, you can't say Garland is a disastrous corporatist, but then with Thiel, we can weather the storm. This is insanity. This whole election is insanity, and the media, TYT, including, are slow-walking Trump into office. The notion of voting for Hitler to bring about the destruction of the Nazi Party is insane. Please stop with the effing insanity.
I wasn't great for the branch, though, in a long time. That the Bundestag could do nothing.
Let's go. You're calling from a 617 area code.
Can I have
today
executive authority?
It's all just such a mess. The next, like, 5 weeks are just going to be a nightmare.
Stop being a cop.
Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Hello? You're calling from a 617 area code. Who's this? What's on your mind?
Hi there. I just wanted to point out that I'm sorry, getting feedback as they called on the app, I guess. I just wanted to point out that I think that the Bernie or bust phenomenon was really created by the fact that Bernie didn't want to attack Hillary directly during the early part of the primaries. And in a social media era that kind of led all of the supporters of Bernie to kind of gin up a lot of really, really anti-Hillary sentiment. And what we hear is like kind of the lingering after effects of their arguments that they were making that Sanders actually himself wasn't making. And there's this anti-Hillary agenda that wasn't really part of the Sanders campaign.
I mean, that's an interesting theory. It's possible. I mean, I wouldn't know how to test that. But, I mean, the idea that on some level he created a vacuum by not attacking her. I mean, I don't know, frankly, that it was shaped by Sanders or not. I mean, I think there was a certain inevitability to it. I don't know that. I mean, you know, you could argue that Sanders was pushing the idea that it was rigged, that the election was rigged in some fashion, which I think was, I mean, frankly, I thought a bad move in terms of a campaign because it took him off of what was his strength. But it also did create this notion that somehow she was illegitimate as the primary winner. And the fact is, and, you know, frankly, much to my lament, she was the primary winner. More Democratic voters voted for her.
Yeah, but think about all the Sanders supporters that she murdered.
And you know, I think had Sanders started his campaign earlier, had Sanders started his campaign thinking it's not just a message campaign, I can actually win, which I don't think he thought until well into the campaign, maybe the outcome would have been different, but it's not. And the reality is what it is today. And so, but I appreciate
there was also a declaration by the campaign at the beginning. He said, I never ran a negative campaign. This is not going to be a negative campaign. And the anti-Hillary folks
kind of, I think, filled that vacuum. But I think your point about not about focusing on the disenfranchisement in the various primaries is another major factor.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Ah, blow me. It's my fault. I'm going to get brave for friggin' everything.
Michigan Go. Man, did Jerry Seinfeld co-author that Death Out piece about missing the good old days when you could tell gay jokes on college campuses? These privileged idiots obviously have no idea what it's like to be on the receiving end of bigoted jokes. I'd love for both of them to wake up tomorrow as a gay 15-year-old who have gone to high school during the good old days of the Reagan administration, see how well they fare. I'm sure Roth Dathau would tell you, like, you have no idea how marginalizing it feels to be made fun of because you're maintaining your virginity as a Catholic.
I'm like, a gay teenager. What's the deal with that?
Because, you know, the other thing that people, I think, like Dathau don't understand, and I honestly believe he would make that comparison, honestly, and if he hasn't already, is that when you go home, your parents aren't making fun of you for that. You don't feel like you're potentially disowned from your own family. You don't feel that way with your closest friends. I mean, I think they have no concept of that. You don't feel like what it is if you're, you know, some like a minority that is obviously, you know, visible to people. You know, you can't closet yourself if you're black or you're Muslim.
You don't feel like you might be murdered.
You don't feel like you might be murdered, right? I mean, but if you're, you know, let's say from, I don't know, the actual sort of, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to put words in Roth Dathau's mouth, although I have no problem doing that, really. I just don't feel like it. Itchy Am. False equivalence by the campaign press on Clinton Foundation and Drumpf Charity. The Clinton Global Initiative is a real charity that spent millions on fighting disease, paying for food for school children. It's what the tax law calls a public charity. The Drumpf Family Foundation is a private charity and gets less favorable tax treatment. Today's Times and WAPO, Fahrenheit detailed Trump's self-dealing. Bill Clinton may have been chummy with real billionaires like Gates to raise millions for CGI. Trump makes his business partners to pay into the Drumpf Foundation. Morning Person. Just got to tell you, Just Coffee is the absolute best coffee ever for pouring on my husband's... Okay. Falufa. Honestly, I used to listen to both you and Jimmy Dore, but I can't take him seriously at all after this election season. Majority Report gets all the respect. Scotch for breakfast. There's still a Reagan appointee on the Supreme Court right now. The average age of the Supreme Court judges in the last four administrations when appointed was 42 years old. If Trump wins, his appointees will be on the court for 40 years. If you're 25, that means you'll be collecting Social Security by the time they're gone. Actually, no, because if you're 25, well, you could if you took early retirement, but it's going to be at least 67.
Welcome back to the Supreme Court with Peter Thiel. Agenda number one, black people no longer people.
Bernie knows.
They're gross.
Bernie knows we can't have that. Jimmy Dore is an effing moron. Filibuster is not in the Constitution and can be changed at the will of the majority. Yes. Nick from Manitoba. Hey, Sam, great debate. Your politics are almost as sharp as German-engineered Harry's razors. Will you clip it for Jimmy? On another note, watch your interview with Mark Maron on WTF, and I was just wondering if you still have a basement full of copies of Bad Situationist, one of which I could buy. Yes and yes. Send an email to majorityreporters@gmail.com.
There's the one sale a year. That's the plan working. Triangulation.
I'll have you know that's the second sale.
Oh, well,
In all honesty, I just got an order the other day.
I must be wearing orthotics because I stand corrected.
You can go to abadsituationist.com or Pilot Season DVDs. PilotSeasonDVDs.com. Sam, I think the phrase voting your conscience is too vague to be meaningful because I maintain it's also my conscience that makes me vote for what I believe will be the best outcome given the choices. That is, I couldn't live with myself and my vote helped get Donald Trump in office. So how is that not also listening to my conscience? That's a great point. Sam Iroll. As much as I like Random Rush, I could have done without his rise to media power from the first Clinton presidency. If Hillary wins, Trump will launch a new right-wing media that will usher in an even worse era of anti... Yeah, but it'll be just a broader Alex Jones. A Square. Too bad the ejection takes up all the air. Wells Fargo story is a disgrace. Company with over $20 billion in market capitalization pays a share... sham million fine. That woman left with over 100 million and 1,000 employees fired for following company strategy. Wow, Sam, it's like fighting two fronts this election. Can't believe that statement about SCOTUS. We live daily in a small and large ways with these decisions. Sad, maddening, irresponsible. That was the part that really got me, and I think people who listen to the program for a long time know that. Like one of my major agenda items has been to make the Supreme Court, to make liberals and the left understand how much of what we live with is a function of the Supreme Court. And to say we can weather the storm, I don't know what that means. And to be fair, Steve-O said that. But Jimmy's whole philosophy is that, like, don't worry about it. There's the risk assessment's not that high. No. Everything else being equal, that would be enough for me.
I want to shoot black people at Jupiter. Supreme Court decision with Peter Thiel.
If Jimmy wants to see what his revolution under Trump would look like, he should look at Wisconsin. Look at North Carolina. With all three branches of government, they will work as hard as fast they can to push their agenda forward. Brain dead. The moment we stop looking for good intentions in the forces of capital is the moment a thick cloud over our worldview and understanding of history evaporates. The political class serves the interest of capital. Under our system, they have a job so long as they manage those interests properly. Warren is showing great skill in applying liberal common sense approach to the management of capital. Because she's speaking in a language we haven't heard in decades, her attacks on banks sound downright revolutionary. This is a serious misreading of her role in trying to keep finance capitalists in line to keep the whole thing going. She's trying to preserve a system that's inherently violent and exploitive. I mean, that's the arguably the socialist critique, certainly the communist critique of what she's doing. She is just like an old school liberal in that respect. Zamomny, I've tried to tweet Jimmy and make the point you made so effectively, that there is privilege to his argument that he's not aware of. I used two examples of how this can negatively affect people to share his ability to ride out Trump. One, my friend's husband was deported and trying to get back in. Which president will be most likely to have policies that will make it likely he's reunited with his wife and child? Also, abortion. I'm still in my reproductive years and have a daughter approaching hers. I know I would not have the life I have or the wonderful child I have if not my ability to have an abortion after my neighbor kidnapped and raped me. As bad as the aftermath, I can't imagine how much worse it would have been if I was forced to have my rapist child. My only response from Jimmy was that it was Obama's fault my friend's husband was deported. Petrus 29. The DNC had me convinced that Russia was trying to influence our election when, in fact, it's you that's been doing it. I always suspected you, Sam. The election gets nearer. The threat of Trump looms larger. I bet Jimmy will vote Clinton, as I will. Michael, what about a Jane Dharma version of Netanyahu? I don't even know how to pronounce that. Homer 3D. Does that mean Donald Trump's business plan to make America great again is the plot of Danny DeVito's 90s movies, Other People's Money? Amkavoy, am I wrong in saying the rules of the Senate can be changed at the majority at the beginning of the session? Yeah, no, that's what I said. In fact, it can be changed at any time, apparently. It's just, I think, slightly easier at the beginning. Jesus Christ, Jimmy, if I had a TYT membership, I'd cancel it for association. Arguing that the fight is the same either way is like saying a football coach might as well give a halftime speech to the other team since he's going to be screaming anyway. Leon Gittins. Wow, Sam, that what a crapshoot with Jimmy Dore. Even as a slightly interested British guy, I understand the crazy revolutionary concept that Jimmy is hoping, no praying for. He's just a little far-fetched for the reality that would be a Trump presidency. You talked about risk assessments. Well, the risk of a third world war is too great a risk for me, and I don't even live in the U.S., Leon of London. The Pepperoni Man. So you can get into how insane and unprecedented it would be if Peter Thiel would be a Supreme Court justice. I remember an amount of discussion about Kagan never having been a judge. What the F has Peter Thiel done aside from funding lawsuits? Is he involved with law? My brain is exploding. I don't think there's something, you know, on principle wrong with having someone who's not a lawyer on there. But I just think that having someone who would basically roll back the 20th century regulatory state.
And women's suffrage?
Well, I would call it rolling forward. And I think this whole show is gross. So guess what? Someone's getting sued. Also, I'm on the Supreme Court. So maybe I'll ruin my own suing case. And lawsuit accepted.
Honestly, like, do you know how easy it would be for him to shut down this show?
I could literally. Oh, I just shut the other show.
Honestly.
And the time I was explaining it, you're done.
Like, there's more contemplation involved in me, like, paying my phone bill online. Like, that's even not even accurate.
How much of a Blue Apron discount do you get? Because I guarantee you, proportionally, nothing compared to just shutting down the whole gross enterprise.
The hardest part in getting him to shut down the show would be to get him to listen to any part of the show that would make him decide to do it.
Fine, I'll listen to that stupid crap. Ew! I'm shutting it down. Goodbye.
Then I guess I would just, like, I don't know. What would I be able to do at that point with my life? Just
maybe you could open a car dealership in middle America. Oh, I just blacklisted you there as well. Guess what? I'm on the Supreme Court.
Cat, Jimmy Dore is so uninformed and has magical thinking to a degree that's scary. He's doing the work of the Republicans for them. Plus, apparently, he has their quality of lack of empathy. He can weather the storm, but he is white, non-disabled male, isn't he? F him. And Citizens United was never even mentioned. I know. I forgot about that. Peter Thiel would immediately just...
But, I mean, to be fair, look at Merrick Garland. Bad guy.
Chris Lepaco. The only reason Obama killed Osama bin Laden was because he didn't want that picture of them playing racquetball together and to get in public. I know it's true because I heard it on the Majority Report.
I know I should have never played squash with that son of a bitch.
Mailman.
Let's get into Pakistan. Let's go.
I guess we must have all liked Bush as president because none of those things Jimmy happened predicted happened. Stoon, Jimmy Dore is watching TV, texting, and driving at all the same time. Does he drive a Tesla? Communism will win. Revolutions are built in communities and enacted by people. They don't happen at the ballot box. People need to stop calling voting stupidly revolutionary. These are the kind of people that in 2000 would have called not voting revolutionary. That worked out great for the left. I wonder what Jimmy's actual calculation looks like. What is the percent chance of his numbers? Trump is an end to the American conservative movement and the start of a legitimized American fascist movement. Ask Jimmy Dore why he's so willing to sacrifice the most vulnerable populations of this country to further his misguided accelerationism.
That's obviously not his intention.
Well, I mean, it is with a little bit of thought that is inevitable. I mean, those 2 years, there's a lot of damage that could happen. Like, all that Medicaid expansion, done.
Or, you know, maybe somebody coming on the Supreme Court who has some fabulous ideas.
I mean, honestly, the Medicaid expansion would be gone immediately, right?
People would die from that alone.
Jimmy in Jersey, any idea why Ezra Klein praised that Ross Dathau column this morning? Much worth thinking about?
Because he's Ezra Klein.
Henry Kissinger. Remember 40 years ago, I secretly plotted with Pinochet a car bomb letter. I'm with her now. She seeks my endorsement. Henry Kissinger. Jimmy Dornell.
Performative.
You need to clip a shareable form of today's evisceration of that brain dead bullshit. Embarrassing. That's what it means to be progressive. Call me liberal. JGA. New character idea. Gohmert bro. Hey, man. Not saying Muslims are dogs. My best friend's a dog. Not listen to this great Lindsey Graham impression. Wow, I never knew mushrooms were racist. You should have Derek Johnson on, but have right-wing Mandela interview him. Marin, my God, that was painful to listen to with Jimmy, but oh well. If I lived in the U.S., I would try and start a movement for the government to invest and spend money. 100% employment, so they have unlimited money. Eric, 22. Who was president before our most liberal president? FDR, who followed him? Less liberal Truman, who followed W. Bush? More liberal-seeming Obama when compared to Hillary? Now we want less liberal Clinton followed by a Tim Kaine in 8 years. Please explain. What?
I think there's more factors involved in that, in what leads to a presidential candidate than, you know, which presidents are in office.
Yeah, but we're triangulating, so yes. But maybe more of an Evan Bay than a Tim Kaine.
Joshua Wolf. I feel like Jimmy Dore is so willing to take the risk for Trump presidency because he has a heterosexual white man. He's the demographic least likely to be impacted by Trump or the GOP at large. Kind of weird to see Jimmy call out non-existent logical fallacies like moving the goalpost and strawmanning and filibuster his points like a libertarian. Carl Sagan. Since the day is dedicated to pushing back on Sam's theories, I want to ask that you consider something you've posited about this election. My understanding is that if you've claimed that if candidacy of Barack Obama was a significant motive for a large turnout of racist reactionaries, then why should the Trump nomination be? I'm wondering about the evidence for a difference in motivation of voting for a charismatic candidate as opposed to as opposed to voting against what have seemed like an intractable Obama candidacy. The reason I'm asking is because you're asking where all these extra white people are going to come from when we know that 50% of the country doesn't vote. I guess what I'm asking is, do you suspect Trump is a significant motivator enough to increase turnout on his side, especially as opposed to an uninspiring Hillary candidacy? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's Occam's razor from my perspective. It's conceivable that there's a hidden white candidacy element, but we didn't see this in the primary. The polls were more or less correct. And I think we would have seen it in the primaries, and that would have been a story coming out of the primaries. Like, holy cow, where did Trump get all these extra voters? Now, he may be, and in places where, like, Ted Cruz had a good ground game, Ted Cruz beat him. It wasn't many places. And, you know, the primary are people who are already, you know, there's less of a poll than there's a self push as opposed to a poll. In other words, people are self selecting. We're paying attention, but it's possible. I mean, it's possible, which is why I take this seriously. They're leaked. I'd rather fight Hillary by voting progressively down ballot that would curb her right wing tendencies. If they're serious about building more liberal third party, let Hillary have 4 years. Vote more progressively this year. I agree. Not safe to drink. Jimmy Dore was asleep from 2000 to 2008. He doesn't remember the Bush years. A bumbling failure, a business owner, became president and ran through horrible laws and wars that created a storm we're still weathering. And you know who suffers? Not Jimmy Dore, a comedian from California, but normal people in Flint, Michigan, who are in a state that thought it no difference if we elected Rick Snyder. Jay Tingle. Richard Russell of Georgia made Johnson's career in the Senate. Speaker Rayburn of Texas made his career in the House. Holy cow, Cooper just broke the story of Trump using foundation money to pay for personal litigation. Dothow tweets that response to his column proves his point. Check and mate. DZ. Does Jimmy Guy even understand the president signs the bills that are passed by a Republican Congress? He needs to go back and study how a bill becomes a law. All right. I'm going to take... I'm going to take two more and then I got to go. Sorry, folks. Nancy in Dallas. Sammy, you have to be able to afford Jimmy Dore's risk assessment. You can't be a woman that needs health care, a dreamer, a Muslim immigrant, African-American, or a person using affordable care, and on and on. And the final idea I am of this somewhat crazy day. Matt Hack. They didn't have a revolution when conservative ruined Kansas. They all got reelected. All right, folks. See you tomorrow. It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want. But I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light's shining bright. I guess I'm where the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you?
Yeah.